This is Sunday, Mother's Day, the 12th of May, 2013. It is time for Freeman on the Land with the one, the only, Dean Clifford. Dean, take it away.
Ooh, goody. Actually, we were just discussing what we were even going to be talking about today. So I think Tracy had had mentioned that we were probably going to be answering some questions from the forum today.
I want to say thanks to Nora for sending me these questions. I've got 25 of them, Dean. But I'm wondering, there's a couple people out there wondering about your announcement. And I know it's not ready to announce, but maybe you could just address that just the way you did with me for a few listeners.
Yeah, see, the problem is I've been working on a real big deal here that I wanted to help kind of launch. Me telling everybody here kind of what I want to get together and what I want to build, and I was waiting on this deal going through, and it's still not done, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to get my entire end together here to make it go, and I won't know for sure until Wednesday, and if there's anything that I don't want to do and make any mistakes, it'd be like the last time something was announced so prematurely that there was nothing even to announce. It was an announcement for the sake of making an announcement. I don't do those. So that's not going to happen. And in fact, I might have to change things up quite a bit if this deal ends up not going through, and there's going to be a different announcement. So, like I say, it'd be ridiculous to make an announcement, based on something that I'm not 100% sure of yet. So, I'm not going to be 100% sure until Wednesday. And if things change on Wednesday. Well, like telling people, we need to start taking everything back and building our own party, and that this is basically a step in that direction, is to start taking things back over and start building our own organization and building our own businesses and our own everything. So this is kind of wanted to come out of the gates here and launch something that was it's basically entirely from my own efforts, just to show people what one man can do, and then get it through in people's heads. As soon as, if we had some cooperation, we got a bunch of people on board all working towards the same goal, how much more could a group of people achieve? So that's kind of the idea behind it all.
And basically you're talking about being able to go ahead and farm and not worry about licenses or legal implications. That's where you're at.
Yeah.
Now you're confident to move forward. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I'm confident to move forward. I was kind of hoping to have something already up and running, though, at the time of the announcement. And if I don't by Wednesday, then I'm just going to release a blog or a video on the website that basically explains everything anyways. And we'll just go from there, because I am getting a little tired of trying to do everything on my own. And I just can't. So if this
doesn't
go away.
What about investments? What about... you know, like somebody else on board that's a real keener, would that make a difference?
Well, again, the more you have behind you, the more you can accomplish. So there's no question there that, to my knowledge, there's not one person in the free man movement who's absurdly rich and wants to help back this kind of a movement, because they're already rich and this kind of stuff doesn't appeal to them because that puts at risk what they've earned.
What about their house? What if they do have a house and they're in the city and they really do want to get back to the land and they're willing to sell their house and join forces? That's what you're referring to?
I would say there's no point to selling the house, actually. In fact, the whole basis of the idea and the movement is, like an anti, what's the proper way to put that? It'd be like a restricting yourself from commercial transactions that profit their system. And the way I see things in Manitoba here, especially where I am, is they've got a tax on, it doesn't matter what you do, every time you sell something, like, they've even got a land transfer tax now. So it doesn't matter that you're paying, taxes on a brand new house when you buy it. Now you're also paying land transfer taxes, which is a percentage of the value of apparently the entire real estate deal, is now a new whole separate tax on top of that yet of several percent that goes to the province that they just for the privilege of having the property transferred into your name at land titles, which is something they're already paid to do. So the whole thing is just absolutely ridiculous. I don't even know what to say anymore. And so I want to stop all that. I want to stop all that. The less transactions that are happening in the marketplace, the less tax that they're generating, the more desperate they're going to get. That's the whole idea behind what I'm doing. And like I say, all purchases I make, when I go to the grocery store, nothing in a box makes it into my shopping cart because all the fresh fruit has no taxes really on it and whatnot, fresh fruits and vegetables. So I just stay away from that kind of stuff altogether. Just limiting the amount of taxable events in the marketplace for one. And getting our own system in place for two. So I wouldn't say that necessarily packing up and moving is the answer. In fact, I kind of prefer that people stay where they are and they just kind of get involved and then start building the, if you want to call it a division or a branch or, a franchise of, what we're doing, in their, area, in their locality. I would say that would be of more help, more aid and assistance.
Yeah, because what we're talking about is co-creating a culture, a new culture of people that aren't in fear. They're not suffering from post-traumatic stress. They feel free to plant whatever they need to on their property. I mean, that's what we're talking about, is basically standing in that new culture. We want to build it. So we don't want it all to be in one area or, you know, just pockets. Just wherever you are, bring it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I'm a little blasé this morning, but I'm having my alkalizer right now as we speak, so I'm just kind of getting wound up here. And I do have to be out of here by noon today. I got some stuff I got to go do today, so I can't spend the full 2 hours.
Okay.
But that's what the announcement has to do with. Like I say, it's something I developed, an idea I developed years ago for how to, not necessarily fight this system, but just how to divest from it and starve it. For the energy that it needs. And I think I'll talk about that more because I spoke to you about it and it took a couple hours to really get into it, didn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
So,
yeah.
It's not something you can really just kind of cover, you know, in 5 minutes and expect people to get it. So, and even then I don't expect most people to get it because contrary, it's adverse to the way that most people think, actually. So, and that's the whole problem, because the way people are thinking right now, it's got us into this mess, so obviously we got to shift gears and do something else.
Yep. Okay, so if we got an hour, should we jump into these questions and see if we can get through as many as we can?
Might as well.
Okay, hey Dean, much appreciating your work and commitment. Have you heard of the Eucadia model by Franco Collins? If so, do you think it has merit as a new society model? Cheers, Johnny.
Yeah, I actually haven't spoken to Frank probably in a couple of months now, but him and I keep in touch every once in a while. I like what he's doing. They're putting an incredible amount of work into literally a whole new type of system altogether. They've got their own canons of law. They've got their own everything that they're working on, and I would say that when they get enough people on board and they start to put that into practical implementation there, that they probably have the groundwork set up for a whole new type of society that would apply to whoever agrees to voluntarily join their society. No different than everything else we got going on right now in the world with all the different nations and whatnot. So they would be, it's the groundwork for a nation unto themselves. And, yeah, he's put a lot of work in. I remember reading through some of those canons like 2 years ago and thinking, holy man, like who took the time to go and get this all together? And there's a monstrous amount of work that was done there. But other than that, I haven't really seen what direction they're going lately, but I did like the work that we're doing.
Okay, great. Question number two. Thanks, Dean. There is some confusion for me regarding where my person was originally deposited and where it may be deposited now based on some of my past actions, driver's license, passport, etc. Was it ever part of the Constitutional Republic held by the U.S. Treasury? And who are the original trustees? I believe I have removed myself from the democracy, but not sure what entity I am or should be crediting. Much appreciation.
Oh boy, that was a mouthful.
Do you want me to go back? Was it ever part of the Constitution?
I don't know if I understand the premise there. I don't think that they're banks. That's all they are, is banks. And we're simply depositing something with an institution. I wouldn't say that you've deposited your person somewhere. I think I've spoken before that we've always maintained and owned all the equity in our legal person that was created. and it's the legal title that was deposited with somebody. So I don't know if it's really fair to say that like a legal person was actually like deposited somewhere, because it's just records that are being kept of events. That's it. It's, and as opposed to like what jurisdiction it was deposited in and where is it now? I mean, I have no idea what they do with the paperwork once it's deposited with them. It's no different than if you deposit a paycheck, or cash money with a bank. I really don't care where that specific dollar that I deposited went, as long as the account's been credited and I have access to what I've deposited. I don't care what they've done with all the paperwork in the background. That's none of my business. And that's why I've been trying to get people away from filing all these UCCs and 1099 OIDs, or up here in Canada, it's a T5000 and something, T5008. I can't remember what the hell form it was. They want to start trying to do the bank's work for them. They're saying, well, I'm not the government, but here, I'm going to fill out all these government forms that only the government should be filling out, like internal banking documents. So that's why I keep trying to tell people, no, you got to get away from that. You just got to say, look, I don't care what you people have done with everything, but I just want access to my credit. I want my return on investment. I want the beneficial interest in my person returned to me, because it's supposed to be for my benefit. So that would be a great thing for somebody to do, would be to contact, say, the original depositing authority that these records would have originally gone to, let these people know who they are, and then say, look, I want full disclosure. I want to know what you people have done. I want to know what accounts are where. I want to know what's in the accounts. I want a full accounting. And full disclosure for the legal person, because I own all equity, so I need to know what there is there. Just like any other investment.
That accounting would be at the U.S. Treasury?
I have, I've got suspicions.
Okay, yeah.
But I have no idea. I mean, again, it's like the internal workings of a bank. At the end of the day, I don't give a shit where they keep all these records. Get them to me. I'm not going to go track down the records. That's your job.
Okay, so the other part of the question, I believe I have removed myself from the democracy, but not sure what entity I am or should be crediting.
Well, what entity you are, I mean, only you really know that. Your legal person is a specific extension of you, if you want to call it that. It's just an extension of you. It's just a monopoly piece. It's all it is. So just because you've ceased contracting with the democracy, I don't think that really makes you like a floating, non-existent entity right now. I mean, that's just a small part of you.
What about creating a trust account to put your assets in? Or that doesn't make a difference?
Well, that's what you already have, and we already don't know what to do with that. So that's when people say, "Oh, we're creating our own new legal persons, our own new estates and trusts, and we're creating this and creating that." And it's like, well, why? You've already got one, and you don't even know how to use that one yet. And now you want to have two of them?
Right.
So that doesn't make a whole lot of sense either. How about you just learn how to get yourself out of the mess you've created out of this one right now? Because we're just continuing on our path of ignorance, and the same way that these courts operate or the governments and the banks all operate on these mandates, assumptions and presumptions by mandate, we're kind of fumbling around in the dark right now and just basically making all sorts of wild presumptions for the most part, and then trying to act on these presumptions that we, you know, I think that's why people are trying to figure out, like, what's been done with the person. Like, they want to start, they think there's something physical you actually get back, maybe. I don't know what people are really thinking half the time with this stuff. Like, there is nothing physical you're ever going to get back. Again, the creation of the person was the recording of an event. And the event was that you were born, and they had to create a commercial version of you so you could take part in this commercial world that they've created, allegedly, so that they could be administrating all these resources and everything they're doing for your benefit. So you had to have a player in the game. That's all it really is. It's not like it's something that you can extract from the system. It's
Right, and it's about knowing who you are now. It's really not about the documents. Once you realize, learn, and glean who you are in relation to all those documents, and however you want to go about, you know, process is now your own individual thing, you know, certain guidelines. Yeah. But it's really about discovering who you are first, prior to the documents. Yeah. They're not going to free you, the documents.
I mean, when you play Nintendo and you win, you're playing a game of Super Mario and you decide you're just going to quit playing Super Mario, do you take your character out of the game system? No, that only has, the character only exists in that Super Mario game, in that Nintendo game, in that program. That character only exists in that game. It's not something you can physically take back out. You can stop playing.
Which is stop complying.
Which is just stop using the legal person altogether then. There's a lot of people that are kind of onto that lately. I would say that's half correct when you say that you want to stop using the legal person and abandon it. I would say no. I would say if anything, you want to stop using the legal person altogether because the government, and I don't want to call them the government,
the corporation.
Whatever, yeah, whoever these people are that have the legal title to your person, let them keep it. They're the tenant. They're the ones that are leasing the legal title to your person. Good. Okay. Keep it. It's yours. I granted it to you. But here's what you're going to start paying me. Right? How many times have I said now that you should treat it like nothing more than an investment, a piece of stock?
Like they do.
That's all it is. They know that.
Yeah.
Right? It's not something you can extract back out of the system.
And they don't get personal about it.
No, they.
Why should we? Why should we? Let's just do it, right?
Well, that's just it. Even I get personal about it. It pisses me off, but no, it's exactly right. Quit getting. It's just business, right? That's why you can open up bank accounts in their commercial world in your name with the birth certificate because that's your monopoly piece.
Okay, so what's the difference? Before we didn't know, so we were hurting ourselves and we were getting hurt. So now we know, we have the knowledge, so it puts a whole different reality.
I think that not contracting without your own terms and conditions put in there are going to be the big key to all of this that everybody has to grasp. And that's, I actually did a quick radio interview there in the middle of the week. A friend of mine that I email with lots over the last year and change, Dave. A fellow named Dave over in the UK there, I actually let him get a hold of me on my job site, on my cell phone for, almost an hour actually. I was only supposed to be on for 15 minutes while I was working, but that's exactly what we went into. And I think he maybe had a lot of first time people on there listening. So we wanted to talk about the person going back to square one. And I love doing that because it always gives me new ways to explain things. But that's exactly what this came down to is that, really in the end, if everybody just treated their person like a business, we wouldn't be in the problem we're in today, which means that you negotiate every contract you enter into with people. You leave nothing open, and you always qualify your signature to let people know who you are with regards to the name, right? That's very important. And contracting, again, I think that's why people that are in construction and own businesses usually grasp this concept a lot faster than everybody else that has normal 9-to-5 jobs, is that we understand that contracting and negotiation, and when somebody wants to do business with us, we always make sure that we hammer out the terms of the contract in advance. And that's all we have to do. And that's exactly why people that are having the success in court are the people that are setting the terms before the court before they participate. No, I'm only participating on these conditions. Well, as soon as you start placing conditions on your participation in anything, they start to lose interest in wanting to do business with you. It's like they're only making money because they keep finding guys to do their concrete work and their stucco work for free. But as soon as you start charging them money, and that could be by placing any type of condition on your participation in anything that they're doing, you start to severely hinder their ability to steal from you, to con you, to just unrestricted access to your estate, to fleece you for everything that you're worth. They can't do that anymore. It makes it really tough on them. And in nature, I think that's just like those insects that make themselves really not tasty, so the birds don't want to eat them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all it is. It's placing the terms and conditions on your participation in anything. Again, none of them work for free, so why are you? This is the most simple concept with relation to the freedom movement, if you want to call it that. I have the freedom to not contract with anybody. That's one of your most fundamental freedoms, is your right to not contract. I do not want to contract with you. In fact, I just had a friend here in Winnipeg just this last week get pulled over in his truck in Winnipeg. Has a driver's license, has the license plate on his truck, but when the cop came up to the window, and the individual actually, I believe they accidentally went through, or they either just missed the amber and kind of caught the tail end of a red light, or I can't remember what it was, but they ended up, in the end they got pulled over. And there ended up being a number of cops that showed up on the scene. But the first thing the guy did when the cop came to the window is, well, the first thing he said actually in reality was he asked him what the emergency was and why his emergency lights were on. But then right after that he says, oh, he goes, well, I just want to let you know that I'm operating in my private capacity right now and I do not consent to contract you with in any way, shape, or form. Well, the cop left and came back to the window a couple of minutes later and he said, well, I could have given you a $400 ticket and this and that, but just get the fuck out of here.
Really?
And the other cops that were there were like, what are you doing? They've got quotas to fill and they got a guy that, ran a red light and he's starting some of the freemen, gibberish and whatnot. And I think at one point the one of the cops saw the guy's kid's toy gun in the back seat on the floor. And actually, I'm waiting to get the rest of the story in full, but apparently one of the officers that was on the scene might have actually pulled his gun and demanded that, and gone into the car to see if it was a real gun or something like that. So, and in the end, I think the rest of the police officers were a little perplexed as to why the initiating officer let them go and didn't want to get into anything with them. And it's just how simple was that? Just before you say anything to me here, before we get speaking, I just want you to know that I'm operating in my private capacity, and I do not consent to contract with you in any way, shape, or form. So now you've removed your consent, and now you've told them you don't want to contract with them. Those are very difficult hurdles to overcome now. Because anything after that now can be seen as forcing, right? You're forcing people to contract with you, to enter into good negotiations with you, to start building a contract with you. And that's a violation of your human rights. And I think a lot of these cops are starting to get more educated now. We know they go back to their cars, obviously, and they call into the Crown Council and they say, yeah, the guy said this and this and this and this. And then the Crown will say, okay, well, you just don't even bother. Just go and tell him to have a good night and be on his way kind of thing. And maybe he'll think he got off lucky and whatnot. But, these are very important contracting principles. And all you have to do is I always equate things to running my construction company. I treat the person the same way because that's all it is. It's a recognized business name within that system. And it's got equity. It's worth something. It has value. And they have and maintain the legal title to it, which is what a CESTA KV actually is, if people want to read into it. So.
All right. Next question?
Yeah, sure.
Hello, Dean. Are you going to be traveling through Medicine Hat anytime soon?
I think I might have read that one actually the other day on the forum. Yeah, actually, every time I head out to Calgary, I always go through Medicine Hat. So I think
maybe somebody wants a private appointment or discuss a mortgage or something.
Yeah, well, I think the next time I'm heading out west there, everyone's going to know in advance, and that's usually when people start, oh, hey, how about you, why don't you stop through here on your way? And I usually do, so we'll see how busy I am this summer. So,
and
yes.
Asking, have you heard of VicVac?
VicVac?
Yeah, he's saying, have you heard of VicVac? V-I-C-K-V-A-C. Oh, and then it's from Robert Anderson. So I don't know what that question is.
No, I mean, I've heard of Vic Beck, obviously. I don't know what VicVac is, though.
No.
At all. No.
Okay. Maybe okay, next question. Great website, mate. Was wondering what your opinion was regarding jurisdiction acquired by Big Brother and how it relates to taking a public benefit. Example would be when in court, if someone takes too many orders from a judge, etc., the bailiff will instantly arrest him or her. Boy, I don't know if I understand that.
I can't see how that would happen. If somebody keeps that's like saying if I order too many Big Macs that McDonald's should be arrested for taking so many orders from me. No, I don't think that I can't see that. I've never even heard of that. And plus you're not taking too many benefits. Number one, they're offering them to you. That's an offer. How could you possibly be arrested for accepting too many offers from people? If somebody wants to give me $10, I guess that's their choice. So no, I've never heard of that before in my life. Say that again. The whole.
Was wondering what your opinion was regarding jurisdiction acquired by Big Brother and how it relates to taking a public benefit. Example would be when in court someone takes too many orders from a judge.
Yeah, okay. And the other thing with jurisdiction is well, we know how they try to build the illusion of jurisdiction over you, and it's always through the government ID, and they get you to start to contract with them, operation of law, get you arguing statutes, get you basically playing the game, is how they get jurisdiction over you. They start building a contract with you. But, oh boy, where was I going to go with that? With the benefits. It's my firm belief still to this day that there is no such thing as a benefit that the government can give you that has conditions attached to it. Because when you know who you are, they're now entitlements. You're entitled to that. An entitlement is something that's free of condition. It means, no, you just owe me that. You can't, it's like if you owed me $100, Tracy, mm-hmm. and I said, hey, Tracy, I need that $100 you owe me. And you said, hey, yeah, I have that $100. I'll tell you what, I'll give it to you if you come and mow my lawn. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, and that's a very important concept because, no, you owe me the $100. Well, I know, but, you know what, I don't have to give it to you. Well, you owe it to me. Well, yeah, but, how about you just come mow my lawn, and then I'll give you the $100. Well, that's a negotiation, right?
Right.
I might actually say yes to that. All right, fine. If that's what it takes to get my $100 back out of you, then I'll come and do it. But then Trace gets the best of both worlds on there because she basically got her lawn mowed for free. Right? She took $100 that she actually owed to somebody and was able to attach conditions to it and benefit from it. So that's what they're doing. They're giving you things that you're entitled to, that you're owed, free of condition, because you gotta remember, everything is, everything that's been done by the government is done with your money, with your equity, with your credit, with your resources, with your labor. Everything they have came from you in the first place. So anything that they're giving back to you is an entitlement. You're owed that. That's a debt that they owe to you. How could they possibly put conditions on something that's owed to you? It's not like, they don't owe you any of this, and just out of benevolence or out of the goodness of their heart, they've offered you $10. And oh, and since we're being so nice to you and giving you $10, how about you do a little something-something for us in exchange for that $10? Well, no, because you already owe me the $10. Otherwise, I'm working for you. If I have to do something to get that $10, then I'm working for you. And I don't work for you. You owe me that money. I'm entitled to it.
Because everything has to go back to zero. Everything must be balanced. Yep.
Yes. So, and again, it's, it's not just money, but, if you had, for instance, say a bike of mine or a car of mine, I said, hey, if you're done with my car that I loaned you, that I said you could use for a couple of days, and it's been a couple of weeks now, I'd like my car back now. Oh, well, if you want your car back, I need this done, or I need that, or, I already promised somebody I was going to come and do something, and I need the car to do that. So if you want to back out of the agreement that I've made with somebody, you got to pay me $50 to break that agreement, because somebody's relying on me. They're counting on me right now. Okay, so now I got to pay you $50 to get my car back. Okay, so that's I think they call that blackmail in some parts of the world, isn't it?
Extortion or something,
extortion,
yeah.
Extortion, blackmail, yeah. Well, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, all that equity in that person. Yeah, we're holding that for you. But if you want it, well, you're going to have to jump through some hoops work it off here with some labor or pay taxes or do something. They cannot put a condition on what is yours by right. Because, yeah, that's exactly it. That would be extortion. And that's all they're doing. That's mm-hmm. how they're profiting, is they are actually forcing you to perform to access, well, actually you're still not able to access it in the end anyways. They're just completely fucking us left, right, and center.
Right. It's just a head game.
That's all it is. It's just a head game.
All righty. Another question. My question for Dean. How do we properly and effectively obtain remedy from the actions of a public servant? They won't stop until it costs them. What's the theory procedure for initiating a criminal action, civil action, and a lien? Thanks, William from the forum.
Yeah, I'm still working on the collection myself. It hasn't been an easy road on that one, because they're making sure it's not easy for us. There's a couple things I'm also trying here in the next week that I'm going to see how that goes. I have some high hopes for it, though. And I still like the commercial lien process, I think, is probably the number one way to initiate a proceeding against these people and serve them and just make sure that it's all, the entire administrative process is done correctly. And it's all been correctly defaulted. They've been given every notice and every opportunity to cure and rebut your claims of injury, and just get all your paperwork ready. And the biggest hurdle has been actually realizing on these securities, on these debts that we're creating. And I think, again, it's because people maybe think that they're going to be getting a check for that amount. And I've had people say, well, you call me when you get a check, and then I'll believe you. It's like, well, why would you want a check anyways if it turns out that you can actually take that and just deposit it for credit on account somewhere? Why would you need a check?
May I interrupt for a moment?
By all means.
There's a question I'm pasting here in the Skype chat from my chat room from Chicklet. How are you able to defend yourself in the statutory court in your private capacity when they don't recognize you?
They can't recognize you. Now, excellent question. Again, I'll reiterate on this. If you and me and Trace are all sitting around playing Monopoly, and we've all got our players on the board, the thimble and the shoe and the train or whatever the hell it all is on the Monopoly board, and I roll a six, and I land on someone's hotel, and they're trying to tell me I gotta pay. I gotta pay for trespassing on their property that has a hotel on it. Can I look at you and say, fuck you, I'm not paying that? I'm a man and I have rights. No.
That's not a rule in Monopoly.
There you go. Okay. That's got nothing to do with the Monopoly game that's going on. Of course you're a man. I can see you standing right there. What's your point? And we've actually had justices say that to people in the courtroom where they, when they walk in, they say, "Oh, I'm a man and I have human rights." Well, yes, I know you're a man. Right? I'm a man, damn it. Well, of course you are. We all are. What's your point? All three people playing Monopoly are, you know, man, woman, whatever, mankind. That has nothing to do with the Monopoly game. My player still owes the fees on the Monopoly game. Except this is a little more serious than Monopoly now. You can't just get up and walk away from the board. Because your person is indistinguishable from you. Completely indistinguishable from you. Which means if your person ends up owing a debt or is an obligation of some kind, you're the surety for it.
Yes, especially in the courtroom. If you're in a courtroom, you better be playing their game, right?
That's what gives the person substance. That's what gives it authority. That's what gives it value. The fact that it's attached to you. If it wasn't attached to anything, it would have no value. It's the only way to give it value is to attach, it's permanently attached to you. Right? So you have the option of just not playing Monopoly. You always have that option.
Yeah, like the way to play the court thing is to not go, you know, not go to court if you can possibly help it.
Yeah, but your human rights might come into play if you can tell the court, well, hey, no, I didn't consent to contract with these people. They locked me up and they forced me to do this and I haven't been paid yet. Well, that's a little bit different. If you're standing, if you're at the Monopoly board, see, I mean, Monopoly board is a oversimplified way of putting it because it doesn't allow for all the variables that we have when it comes to law and the legal world and the legal person. But is it, would the common man, would a reasonable man expect anybody to work for free?
Hey, this would make a good board game. I think we should make a board game to teach people.
Eh? Nice. Well, I've actually heard it said by people that that's actually why they did create Monopoly back in the day. It's like it's been a best-selling board game for how many friggin' decades? Like 70 years or something it's been around?
And you have a Monopoly game?
I do have I enjoy playing Monopoly still, in fact, actually. Yes, I have ever since I was a kid. So,
it's part of your character and why you are the way you are, like with business and numbers and stuff, right? It's an educational tool is what you're saying.
Yeah. So, when you start thinking about it in those kind of terms, then your defenses also just kind of appear before you. It's like, okay, well, hang on a sec here. Whoa, we got a problem. With my understanding, I was getting paid for my participation here. And these are my rates. And we've had people contact the Crown in advance and tell them, hey, whoa, if you guys want me there on this date, here's my rates. It costs me this much for a personal appearance. And even then, like not a general appearance, a restricted appearance. If you guys want me to show up and participate in whatever the hell you guys got going on, well, I'm sorry, I don't work for free. You don't work for free. Justices don't work for free. Sheriffs don't work for free. Court clerks don't work for free. I don't work for free. So if you want me there, I'm going to be compensated. Number one. Number two, if I'm going to show up and play in your game, I want it understood that I'm not liable for anything that may result from this proceeding. I'm not liable for anything. It's like what I've been telling people how to file when they're filing their income taxes. So if you want me to file, here's my terms and conditions. Number one, I need a liability waiver that says that I can't be prosecuted for violations of the Income Tax Act if I don't file properly in accordance with the Income Tax Act because number one, I've never seen the Income Tax Act. And number two, I'm not even qualified to navigate it. So I absolutely do not consent to being liable for not filing in accordance with something I've never seen and I'm not qualified to navigate. That's my first condition. My second condition is that I'm to be paid for my work in advance because I'm unwilling to extend you credit. You people have no credit with me. None. Here's my rates. Here's my hourly fee. This is what I estimate it's going to take to do the job, just like a contractor would do, an estimate. And as soon as you've paid me in full in advance, I will perform. But until then, I'm under no obligation to perform. I'm not a monkey, and I don't dance until I've been paid.
Okay, here's the other half of William's question again. What's the theory procedure for initiating a criminal action, civil action? You already talked about the commercial lien.
Yeah, that I'm actually working on as well.
I can share something on the criminal action.
By all means.
Okay, you basically go to the courthouse and you ask for a justice of the peace. This is how I proceeded and how I actually won a criminal action. I won the judge on my side. The Crown threw it out after, but it was definitely a win. So you go to the justice of the peace. They send you to the library to look up the law, the criminal law that you are making an accusation. And then they can't give you advice, but you take the law, you've discovered it's section 408 fraud, say merchant fraud, and you go back to the JP and they won't give you advice, but they will, they made it very clear to me, we can't give you advice, but we can guide you through this. So they help you fill out a private prosecution at the criminal court counter, and then you get a date. And the police aren't involved and the Crown isn't involved. It's between you and the judge. You're a witness at that point. And that's as much as I know, but it took me a couple of years to figure out how exactly did I win that? Well, what I did was I had the merits of the case based on Winston's teachings. I had the case laid out. It was proved. I wasn't going in there to argue my side of something. I had proof. I had four documents and proceeded the way the judge wanted. The judge wanted his own copy, not a copy goes to the registrar and then a copy to you and a copy to the file. The judge wanted a copy himself, and that's what the JP told me, and so I made sure he had a whole copy of the file, and I could tell that he was impressed just the way I presented it. And the Crown tried to throw it out, and he told the Crown to sit down, and then he issued a warrant for this merchant's arrest for fraud. Federal charges pending. And a lawyer told me later, he said, wow, you really impressed that judge. That wasn't an everyday thing. And he says, you don't usually see that happen where they tell the Crown to sit down. And I think it was because I educated myself and I followed Winston's advice where I had a statement of facts, the merits of the case, and it was pretty much wrapped up. There really wasn't any argument at that point of what had happened. And the accused didn't show up. He wasn't there, and so that's why he issued a warrant for his arrest. And then as much as the Crown tried to throw it out, the judge overruled. But then once it was out of the courtroom, it was back in the hands of the Crown, they did throw it out. But it played out in a small town. Everybody heard about it, and that merchant never sold farmed prawns from Taiwan as if they were West Coast sea candies again. So that's how I did it. Yeah, it was pretty straightforward. It was pretty easy. That was criminal private prosecution. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the only thing I would add to that yet is that everybody has to understand, and this is something that can be used for defensive purposes as well now, is that every criminal action must come from a civil action. And that basically is the explanation as to why you demand in the court that an injured party be produced. Because if there's no injured party, how could there possibly be a criminal charge? Every criminal charge must derive from a civil action. And a civil action is an injury. Somebody's been damaged. Somebody's been injured. You've harmed somebody. Somebody's making a claim against you. And I can expand on that, and something that I'd like to try maybe in the near future when I get a chance is it's come to my attention in the last number of months that if you bring a civil action into a court anywhere, and in your civil action a crime has been committed, so it's not just that so-and-so owes you money or so-and-so broke a contract or this guy said he was going to stucco my house and he didn't finish, or I paid him and he never showed up, or Something along those lines. If you file civil action against somebody, like, oh, this guy punched me in the face and broke my nose, so I'm suing him for X amount of money in damages. The court has an obligation to convert the civil action into a criminal and prosecute that individual for the crime that was committed. So something else I wouldn't mind trying in the near future would be to bring one of these matters into the court on the civil side and remind the court that they have a duty and an obligation to convert these to criminal charges and to prosecute.
And by the way, if people want to file something in civil or criminal court, there is the option. They call it a poverty or a hardship waiver, but there is the option to not pay a $160 filing fee if you don't want to, whether you consider it a hardship or not. Sometimes in principle, it's just like, you know, if you don't have to pay, why? It might make a difference to whether you pursue something, you know, whether or not you want to invest a $160 filing fee or not.
Yeah, well, if you're suing, if you're going after, Her Majesty, that costs $2.
Right. There you go.
That doesn't cost you much. And I think that for just about any other kind of an action you might ever try to file, I'm very, very certain that there's some kind of a financial hardship thing that, where that fee can be waived.
Yeah.
And the biggest reason that I have for that is, again, that these courts are publicly funded, which means that, and we have the right to access justice, which means they cannot put terms and conditions on it like, oh, you can only access this if you pay money. No, here's my live birth record. You people are already paid. You're already funded by public money. That's me. I'm the public. I'm already paying. I'm not paying you again. That's just enrichment. Now you are going to file this. That's something I've been wanting to try for a while now, because I know it'll work. I said 2 years ago it would probably work, and I just haven't had a chance to go and do it yet, because it's one of the million things on my list that I would like to try at some point in my life. Okay. Next.
I have pasted several questions here in a Skype chat. And this is from Juice, who said, Dean, any update on your private prosecution in K-E-L-O-W-N-A?
I'm back.
Welcome back, Trace.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize. The internet dropped me off here.
Nice.
Did you get to that question in the chat room? Sorry, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, and this is from Juice. Any update on your private prosecution in K-E-L-O-W-N-A, however you pronounce that.
Kelowna?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, another thing that I have to get back to yet, yeah, I had my first hearing for a private prosecution out in Kelowna, and the judge that was at the hearing the matter refused to issue process. Was going to issue process initially on a couple of the charges against the deputy, you know, what is it, something superintendent of Southeast British Columbia there, an RCMP, who was who failed to correct the crimes that were committed against me by one of his subordinates there, that Dave Matthews out of Fernie. And what's interesting is that right after I had gotten back from flying out to Kelowna for that hearing, and they refused to issue process, and there was another ad video I was going to take on that, I was in contact with the Cranbrook Courthouse, where I'd filed the other criminal charges against Dave Williams from Fernie, the RCMP officer, and they were trying to tell me there was a whole bunch of things I needed to do to schedule a hearing to have the matter heard. And I said, well, hang on a sec here. I said, don't all British Columbia courts operate in the same rules and procedures? And they said, well, yes, of course. I said, okay, well, how come Kelowna didn't want any of this from me? How come I didn't have to do any of this in Kelowna? Oh, well, I can't speak for their courthouse. That's a different courthouse. I said, you just told me that you operate on the same rules and procedures. Now you're telling me it's a different courthouse, so they might have different rules? Is that what you're telling me? Well, no, I didn't say that. I said, okay, then it's the same rules. How come I didn't have to do any of this in Kelowna? A hearing was just scheduled. I didn't have to make application for all this crap and do all this crap that you're talking about right now, and in person yet. I said, you people know I have to fly out there to do this in person, and that's the only reason you're demanding I do this, because you're hoping if I have to fly out here 15 times to get this done, that I'm just going to lose interest in doing it. So that's where that's at. I haven't picked that back up yet, and I fully intend on it. But again, it's on my list of a million things to do. And I'm either going to fight.
I don't know. I hope you do.
Did we lose Dean? I think he dropped.
Yeah, he lost his internet. I'll call him right back, folks.
Yeah, we've got another question here in the chat. I'll ask him when you get him.
Oh, we're really getting someone riled up today.
This question is, how about if I use a solicit lawyer as an interpreter for the legalized language? Well, I wouldn't.
Neither would I.
Legalese, no. I mean, you can break it down. It's once you get into it, they wouldn't do it anyway. They can't. They don't represent you, lawyers. They represent your commodity.
They represent the corporations, represent.
The crown and then the corporation and you're last and it's just your commodity and they're. We're replacing them. That's what's happening. We're not going to need them anymore because we're learning what to do, so we don't need them to screw us over.
Dorothy, I'm producing a live show and I'm having problems. Bye.
And you're getting phone calls as well.
Yeah, there's one of the people we've had on one of the shows calls and she talks for hours. God love her. I mean.
But not now.
Not now.
Yeah. So, yeah, my internet drops here when the weather's it's just pouring, and it dropped for a minute, but hopefully get Dean back. He's wanting to go pretty soon anyways, so maybe we can get one more question in if you get him.
Well, I got a whole bunch of questions I pasted in here.
Well, we'll see if we can get to him. Get to them. Maybe we could play Freeman for a minute, Dave.
Oh, I can play. Well, my brothers and sisters, pardon that brief sound of silence. We're having a problem connecting up with Dean. The lovely Trace is still here with me here in wherever she is, sitting on her stool.
Sitting on my tush.
I didn't say that. I said you're sitting on your stool.
Well, I think Dean's probably gone. I guess his internet dropped, but he was going to hang for an hour today. So we'll get back to questions from the chat room and from the forum next week. We'll do that for a while. And for the rest of the hour today, we could take Kate and see if she wants to sing us a song.
All she's got to do is answer the dadgum Skype. She's probably away.
Yeah, I knew she had other things going on today. She said she could stop by, but I haven't talked to her for a couple days. But anyways, I'll just ramble on a little bit about that, you know, filing a criminal action. I found that very, very satisfying as far as I first reported the fraud to the police and they wanted nothing to do with it. And that offended me because they just refused to even take my report. And the reason was it's a small town and the police sergeant would occasionally go fishing with the owner, the merchant that I had the issue with. And, I had good reason to have the issue. I mean, who out of a fresh fish place that, you know, we don't use sell farm salmon, blah, 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 would then be selling, you know, farm prawns from Taiwan, previously frozen. And, you know, like, think anybody would actually believe it. And the European government considers those things, declared those things a non-food. So, I mean, it was the insult that I just could not believe. You know, when I took these prawns back to him the next day, he told me I didn't know how to cook. We got into this big thing, and finally he gave me my money back. But I could tell that he had been doing this to a few people, you know, getting away with it for a while. So because the police wouldn't do anything, I went, I wonder what else I can do about this. So I just went to the courthouse. And I inquired, and next thing I knew, I was talking to a JP, and he was telling me how to do it. So I did that thing that I explained. I went to the library. I defined the crime, and it was Section 408, merchant fraud. And I prepared my paperwork. Like I said, the merits of the case, it was pretty much wrapped up. And what happened in the courtroom was interesting because I was in the witness box. I wasn't lower than the judge. I was eye to eye with the judge in the witness box beside the judge, and everybody else was lower, which was just the prosecutor, basically.
Yeah, anytime you're in court.
You're back!
I'm back, by the way. Yeah, my computer crashed.
Oh.
Yeah, I've been having some issues with the last couple weeks here. I think it might be time for a new PC. What was I going to say? Anytime you're called to the witness box, you're always brought up to the little box beside the judge. That's even in the movies.
Yeah. It means you're a living being. Like, I said that to you before, and you didn't agree with that. But it seems to me that I was recognized as a witness. I'm you know, not that's the same as the legal person as far as that type of, you know, situation.
That'd be a type of a title or a status, wouldn't it? Witness?
Right.
It's all title. It's all status. Same.
Okay.
It's all title and status. Who are you? That's more important I'm trying to think of how I was going to properly.
Oh, okay, but
that.
So that means that I was Tracy Smith with a valid case.
Well, you're always Tracy Smith, but in what capacity are you acting at the present time? Oh, right now you're a witness? Okay. I'm not even sure what kind of ramifications that would have in the court, but,
Okay, well, what do you mean? How was I acting then if I wasn't a witness, which is what you're saying, just a title?
Well, it's all standing. It's how you're recognized. All the players had different roles and functions in the courtroom, and different roles have different authorities, I guess, attached to them. They're recognized in different capacities, if you want to call it that. So it's a whole capacity game. That's all it is. The judges don't ever want to talk about that. That's why you get nervous as soon as you start talking about capacity. Right? That was one of the original defenses a friend of mine developed years ago, which was when he showed up for court, they would ask him if he's so-and-so, and he'd say, in what capacity and for what purpose do you want to know? So as soon as he started saying, well, before I can answer that, I need you to clarify in what capacity you want me here in, or that you think I'm here in, all of a sudden they don't want to talk about that now, because it would expose the fact that it's all capacity. That's all it is. It's all title and capacity.
Interesting. Okay.
They're just getting you to play different roles in the courtroom.
Okay, let's jump over. There's a question in the chat here. It's basically... you say we can't use a solicitor if going no consent, no contract. How about we use them as an interpreter? Thank
well,
you.
Well, that's technically what counsel is. When you're receiving counsel, you're just getting interpretation. But again, do you care about the interpretation of their acts and statutes and codes?
No.
Personally speaking, I'd say you can't use a solicitor. By all means, go ahead. But just keep in mind that you're hiring somebody whose first duty is to the court and not to you.
Right.
And they can't do anything to help you. They can't, they have to operate mm-hmm. on the same rules and procedures as other members of the Bar Association. Again, my real estate lawyer told me one time, we both laughed about it because we used to have our little talks about this kind of stuff. He said, oh, by the way, you have to fill this out. I said, well, why do I have to fill this form out? And he goes, oh, it's law. I said, really? What law is that? Oh, well, no, it's more of a Bar Association rule. But that's his law. That's his law. And I laughed at him and I said, you know just as well as I do that I'm not a member of the Bar Association. And I really don't give a shit about their rules and procedures. I said, so no, I won't be filling that out. And he just kind of smiled and laughed at me and he said, yeah, he goes, that's right. That's law. So that's what a lawyer is going to tell you. Oh, well, but that's the law. No, in this instance, it was a Bar Association procedure that all members of the bar are required to do. So to him, yes, that is a law. To me, it's a bunch of puke. I don't care. It's got nothing to do with me. So if you want an interpreter to interpret puke and how it applies to you, by all means, you just go to court with your interpreter and contract with one of their with an officer of their court. So,
okay, question six. Do you have time for one more?
Yeah, sure. Since I cut out there and I'm just kind of chilling here, anyways. Yeah, we can keep going for a little bit here.
Okay, cool. Bank fished in my bank account and froze it to pay part of income tax I owe from 2011, provincial income tax plus TPS. TVQ. Need to call and negotiate or email and negotiate. How would you do it? How would you do it if you had contracted with them by filing the previous year?
So this person obviously did file their income taxes then. Okay, that's fine. There's a reason it's called income tax return though. Apparently there's been some sort of a mistake made and they believe that you're the accounts payable. That's where you say, no, I filled out the return, but what would lead you to believe that I'm personally liable for the debt that's on that, that was resulting from that? That's the money I'm owed. What would lead you to believe that I owe that money? I'm the grantor here. I'm the one that owns all the equity in the person. That's a return to me. And if they didn't dispute the filing, they've agreed with you. So now it's a case of mistaken identity where they for some reason believe that you're the accounts payable. No different than when I used to use the example on the other shows that I've done where I said, look, when you walk into a bank and you give the bank your account number or your card, your bank card, and you put the PIN number in and they pull up your account information and they see the lady sees the balance on the computer screen and you say, yeah, I'd like to take out $500, and you fill out a withdrawal form, an order. So you fill out an order for money. Does that bank teller take the money out of her own purse? Or to use the bank's money? When you're working for a major corporation and you're working in an office where you're handling customers' accounts, or maybe you're dealing with the accounts that for the corporation that you owed other people, like for you guys have lines of credit or whatnot at a supplier, and the corporation owes supplier money, and you're dealing with that account, and there's a debt there for $15,000 that needs to be paid, and you're doing all the paperwork, and we owe these guys $12,000. Do you use your personal bank accounts to pay that? Or do you use the company accounts? You just forward that on to the next guy's responsible for cutting the check and mailing it out. These are all things you can bring up with CRA. Say, hey, whoa, no. What would possibly lead you to believe that debt's going to get paid from my personal accounts? No. I'm not the trustee. You guys want me to fill out a return to find what the account what the accounting is? That's fine. I did it. But what led you to believe that I personally owe, personally, whatever liability arose from this filing? That's not my debt. Or I could take the other approach on this. People really need to get up to speed on this stuff. Again, if that's what the resulting debt is, and they're claiming that's your debt, yep, that's your debt. Okay, good. What is money in Canada?
Debt.
Debt. Good. If that's my debt, why are you trying to take more debt from me? Give me my debt. Give it to me. That's what money is in Canada. There's so many angles you can take with this, but this is why they're beating us so badly in this game. They understand it. They can flip this back and forth 6 different ways. At all times, they just come at you from a different angle. They're always flipping roles. They're always flipping capacities, and they know that you're not able to follow the game. Everybody seems stuck in this, like there's like just one way to do something. There's only, you have to say this. It's precisely this going on in the courtroom. All this stuff is completely a negotiation, and when you lock them out of one avenue, they come at it from a different avenue. That's why sometimes they're recessing and they're changing venues. They're doing all sorts of stuff on you. They're just trying to get a contract with you. That's all they're doing. And instead of going along with it and playing with them until they get you, and that's what they're doing. They're just, it's like, it's no different than a hockey game. They keep you on the ice and they're going to keep you playing until they're able to score a goal. And now there's a resulting liability. That's all that's going on, and that's why I love the line that I don't consent to contract with you. I don't want to contract with you. I'm here by threat of physical force is probably the best way to really approach that, because it kind of removes the plausibility that you're consenting to what's going on, which means if you don't consent to it, I don't care what game they're playing. That's the best way to stymie that whole thing. So, which might have got a little bit off topic there, off track, but,
so your advice is to not file income tax. Like, this is after the fact, but you're basically, obviously you don't file.
After the fact, like I say, you could send a letter that says, again, look, I don't know what led you to believe that I personally owe this money now on personal accounts. I just did the accounting. You guys asked me to do the accounting. I did it. And also we have another problem. It was my understanding that I was getting paid for this. I haven't received my paycheck yet. I seriously hope you people didn't just assume that I was gonna work for free. Is that something the common and the reasonable man would expect? Is that somebody's gonna work for free? No. So now there's an issue of payment. I'm not doing anything until you people pay me up front now. There's already a debt. You already owe me money. What would lead you to believe that I'm going to perform anything further for you for free until I've been paid for my past work?
Give me one too, please.
So there's any number of ways to approach this. Again, everything's a negotiation with these people. Anything they want you to do is a negotiation.
Well, get yours first. I can wait.
Dave. You want another? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I forgot to mute my mic. You can mute me later.
It's okay. It's entertaining. So any of these kind of things can be halted immediately just by giving notice that you're not working for free, and you refuse to do anything further until you're paid up front. Now, we need to clarify a few terms of service here, okay? Terms of service. If they're not willing to negotiate terms of service with you, then that means that they only want service from you for free and under physical threat. Well, now we're getting into violations of your human rights. Okay? So, that's where people, you're obligated to do this. Really, I'm obligated to do something for free? Could you please prove up where this liability, arised from? Where did a liability get attached to me? When? How did this happen? If you're claiming that I have an obligation to do something, where did that obligation arise from? Because it's my understanding I was born free. I'm not a slave, which means at some point I would have had to have contracted with you people to give rise to this liability, this obligation. When was that? Precisely. Clarify it for me. Because it appears that we have a dispute regarding my terms of service, which means we got to go back now and we got to review this relationship and how it was created to see exactly what my liabilities and obligations are. Well, if that'll make them fuck off immediately, because there is no such thing. It's all bullshit. Are you trying to tell me I was born with this obligation? Well, that's nonsense. Obviously you weren't born with an obligation. That's called involuntary servitude or slavery. Nobody is born with an obligation attached. That's a condition of being alive. That's a violation of your human right. Only God can do that. So, if I wasn't born with this obligation, when did it develop? When did it get created? When did I ever agree or get compensated or enter into some kind of a contract with you people where you can claim that I'm obligated to do anything? That just doesn't even make any sense. And do you think they're going to be able to prove any of that up? This all has relevance to this income tax filing. And number one, That would be a great time for a notice of mistake to be sent off to say, hey, look, apparently I filled out this income tax return last year. I had no idea what I was doing, but I was threatened with jail if I didn't fill one out. So, me filling that out was a mistake. And I only did it under threat and coercion. I was coerced into doing that. So it's my understanding that means there cannot possibly be a contractual obligation created because I was coerced into filling that out. Not only that, I don't even know what I was doing. I'm not qualified to do any of this stuff you guys are trying to force on me. I was just scared you were going to throw me in jail because you told me if I didn't fill it out that I would go to jail. But I'm aware of no obligation that I'm required to fill one of these things out. Could you please point it out to me? Could you please show me where and how I'm obligated to fill one of these things out?
Or file a private prosecution against whoever threatened you.
Yeah. That's exactly it. Say, oh, and by the way, could I get the name and date of birth of the individual that told me I'd go to jail if I didn't fill this out? Because I think that they may have uttered threats.
Yeah.
And I think I might need to privately prosecute them or initiate a civil action against them because I think my rights have been violated. I believe my human rights have been violated. So. This is all very simple. Like, is anything that I've just said, is any of this difficult?
No, and can you imagine if everybody in April went and filed a private prosecution for being threatened instead of filing their income tax? If everybody did it, that'd be amazing.
How about if just everybody didn't file? What are they going to do? Are they going to throw 30 million Canadians in jail? Isn't that the will of the people in action? If none of them want to file income tax returns?
Except a lot of them do because they think it pays for the roads.
Yeah, that's the whole problem. Again, the greatest enemy we have is the deluded masses.
Yeah.
The people working against us because they believe we're not paying our fair share or something like that, right? So that is that's the whole point of why we're trying to get the word out with regards to this, is to get more of the masses on board. But in the meantime, again, nothing I have said here today is complicated. Nothing involves an act or statute for a defense. Nothing I've said requires navigating the Income Tax Act or getting determinations of law. All the law that I've quoted is stuff that's already been pretty well established as being a human right, which means you can't be forced to do anything for free. So, if you're not forcing me to do something for free, which means I've been compensated already for this return you want me to fill out, I need to know when I was compensated and how I was compensated. Please clarify for me when and how I was compensated for this that gave rise to an obligation. Or are you claiming I've heard it claimed before that the obligation arises from a future benefit, something you haven't got yet. Well, I'm sorry, I don't work that way. When I show up, that's a term of service. Doesn't it sound like they're trying to tell you what the terms of your service are? You're obligated to do this for a benefit that you might never see. And if you don't do it, you're going to jail. So if I don't do this right now for a benefit that I may never see, that I don't even know what that benefit is because they're not telling me, I can go to jail. Does that even make sense? No. We can do more harm to them from asking simple questions and demanding simple answers than you ever can with any of the other nonsense out there. That's why I'm trying to show people the whole keep it simple mentality. This is just common sense. It's just logic.
And what you mean by doing harm to them is not complying and breaking down the system.
Willful non-compliance. I'm sorry, but hey, I got no problem complying if you can prove an obligation on my part But I think you're going to have a little trouble with that, because it's my understanding I wasn't born with this obligation, and I don't ever recall any circumstance in my life where something happened that this obligation became attached to me. So maybe you'd like to clarify that. Maybe you'd like to point out exactly when this became an obligation on me. They can't, it doesn't exist. That's the one thing that they're hoping you never ever bring up. They want you to argue puke. Because it's a diversion from what is really the facts here. And the facts are, I haven't been paid. And until I'm paid, I don't work. That's one of the most fundamental human rights that there is. If you want me to do anything, these are my terms and conditions. And if you don't like my terms and conditions, then go find somebody else to do it. And if they're claiming that you've already received the benefit, or it's in exchange for a future benefit, and the obligation exists, then they better be able to prove that up. Otherwise, you have claims against them. But they never can, and they're not used to people making these types of arguments. They want people to argue puke. Right? So, okay, you guys want me at the Monopoly board? You want me to roll the dice, and you want me to move my little man along the board? Okay, here's my terms and conditions. Number one, if I land on somebody's hotel, I'm not paying you with my own personal money. You're only getting Monopoly money. Number two, if you want me to sit down and roll the dice, I'm going to be paid. If you guys want me to play your game, I got things to do. Now, obviously, you're not going to charge your kids to play Monopoly with them. But if anybody else wants me to play Monopoly with them, like the courtroom, for instance, I am to be paid. I'm to be paid in advance. Otherwise, I do not perform. And I can't think of a better way to get estoppel at law. Well, I'm here, and the Crown was made aware of my rates, and they didn't tell me to not show up today, so they've agreed to my hourly wage. They've agreed to my rates. The Crown has agreed to my terms and conditions for being here today. The Crown asked me to come here. I was summoned to come here. I'm here. They were made aware of my terms and conditions. Now we have a problem because I haven't received my paycheck, which means we're not proceeding until I get my paycheck. You guys want me to play a role here today? Well, my terms and conditions are I'm not personally liable for any obligations or liabilities that might arise from anything that happens here today. I'm not personally liable for anything. You guys want me to play hockey? I'm not a very good hockey player. And I don't know the rules of hockey. In fact, I'm incompetent when it comes to hockey. I am incompetent in this game, in this courtroom. So, if you want me to participate, I'm paid, and I'm not liable for anything that might happen here. Wouldn't that just be maybe common sense for your own protection? As soon as you start talking about liability in the courtroom, they start to get really nervous. Liability is a big one. Ask them questions like that. Who's liable? Who's the liable party here? Who's liable for paying me? Because I haven't got my paycheck yet.
Yeah, as soon as you know who you are and you state it, like with authority like that, it changes the whole game. Yeah.
Is somebody claiming that I have to work for free? To my own detriment? Who's claiming that? Because I think I might have a claim against them for human rights violations. That's where human rights violations come into the equation. Okay? You've now discussed the one thing they don't want to talk about, and that's where the liability arises from in the first place. They're just operating on the presumption that there is a liability. That's the mistake. That's the error. So, I don't know. Next question.
Okay. Okay, as a signatory of the Declaration of Human Rights, I understand I have entitlement to Healthcare Canada, but I am unsure how to actually go about claiming this in a real-world scenario, as in going to the doctor. Do I just get billed and offset the debt? How is this handled in a day-to-day manner? Also, it says I'm entitled to healthcare.
Hello? I'm guessing that's Trace that cut out. Hopefully it wasn't me, so I'll just talk like I'm online. Yeah, you're certainly entitled to health care.
Her internet connection dropped again, Dean.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, we're all having problems these days. Jeez, my computer's actually, something's really wrong with it lately. It's been crashing really bad. Might be time for a new one. But I'm not going to leap to the conclusion that I've been hacked and they're interrupting with my internet connection. I'm not going to leap to that conclusion. Healthcare, this has been proven. Again, this all actually, interestingly enough, supports the claim that this is all just administration, and insurance policies. Again, if you have a health insurance card, instead of accessing your entitlement directly, you're accessing your entitlement through a third party now, through an insurance company. You've actually, delegated the administration of your health care to an insurance company who will have your file being passed back and forth between 50 different people, all filling out paperwork, who are all highly overpaid. That is what is running out costs of health care. If you just went in and said, I need this done, and I want you to bill me. Here's my live birth record. Oh, don't you have a health insurance card? No, I don't have health insurance. I don't require it. I want to be billed. I want to pay for it. That kind of sounds like private health care, don't it? We have that. We've always had that. And it's there. And I know somebody that's done this. If they could bill you, all I would do is take that bill and send it right into the Minister of Finance. Here you go. Pay this. That's if they could bill you. They can't bill you.
And they can't turn you away for health care either.
And they cannot turn you away. And as soon as, I could get into that. Let's just say, I think people would be surprised what happens when you just tell them you don't have a health care card. And you tell them, well, I was born here. Here's my birth certificate. Here you go. For accounting purposes, here's the legal person. Here's the account. You've got to remember, really, all the government really is an accounting service. They're a bank. They're just there to transfer money from one account to another. And all the accounts are all held in trust, and they're all behind the scenes. It's just numbers, just ledger entries, debits and credits. And when they bill you, their only real job is to, you have to authorize the billing, approve it. That's acceptance, right? By signing it, saying, yep, that's a legitimate debt, and then forwarding it on to the next guy. You're not supposed to be doing their work for them and filling out all their paperwork and filling out UCC forms and filling out 1099 OIDs and trying to tell the government how to do the accounting behind the scenes. You're not supposed to do that. You're just supposed to say, I want this. Or, yep, that's a legitimate debt. Yep, I got that service. Yep, that service was provided. Yep, this is legit. Sign it. That's acceptance. And send it on to the next guy. They're trying to get you to do all their work for them, and then not only that, pay the money out of your own pocket in the end. Because the more they can get you to do that, it's like an insurance company sloughing off all the responsibilities onto you. When you make an insurance claim, do you go and fill out all the insurance company's internal documents? Have you ever done that, Trace?
No.
No? Okay, so why do people think this is any different with the government? The bank. When you go and or order money out of your bank account from the bank, do you tell them how to do all their internal accounting to debit the account? No. I don't give a shit what you people do behind the scenes. Give me my money. I want my service. You're there to provide a service for me. Okay? That's what the government is. They're there to provide a service for you. Bill me. They can't bill you. Why can't they bill you? Dean, why can't they bill you? The question is on the board. They can't bill you because you're technically insolvent. You've already deposited everything with the government. They already maintain all the accounts. They've got the legal title. They cannot bill you because the government is supposed to be paying your bills. So if they bill you, that is the breach of trust. I've already paid for the services that I get. That's what prepay means. This is all prepaid. You people already have my share of the resources to manage for my benefit. The benefit is I get these services. If you're trying to tell me now I also have to pay for the services, then we got a big problem because I already gave you everything. Are you trying to tell me that you mismanaged the resources and you squandered and stole my inheritance and there's nothing left to provide me with fucking Medicare, with medical assistance? Is that what you're fucking telling me? You took my $1 million, you fucking stole it, and now there's nothing left for my health care? Do they want you asking that?
Can't a doctor bill, though, Dean, if he go to a doctor's office for an appointment and he doesn't see you because there's no health care number? Will he agree to bill you? Or she?
They pretty much have to. But now we're getting into a little bit different. Like, that's private practice.
Okay.
Right? What you would be able to do, and I'm 100% convinced of this, is if you do have to pay a bill cash with your own personal money, because you needed the service of a specialist or somebody in private practice, then you should be reimbursed for that. That's what the receipt is for. The receipt is for you to go and claim back what you had to pay.
From who? From what department?
Who's got your money?
Okay, so just submit a bill to the Treasury.
That would be a good approach.
By the way, I just want to throw in that the last income tax bill I got was about 5 years ago, and I sent it to the Ministry of Finance, and I never heard from either one ever again so far. Nothing. It was $2,000, but that's what I did with mine.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So, maybe. Because in the end, within their system, if you keep everything within their system, No money has to exchange hands. It's all accounting entries on the back end. On the private side of the accounts, it's all accounting entries. So if it's something you're entitled to, you should be able just to sign for it. And all the accounting is taken care of on the back end. That's how this is supposed to work. That doesn't mean you can go out and buy a brand new Ferrari. You're not entitled to a brand new Ferrari. On a whim. That's the problem, though, is the minute, and they know this, too, the minute that people get access to something that they think is unlimited credit, they're going to be trying to buy Ferraris and houses, and they want $11 billion in their bank account. What do you need $11 billion in a bank account for? Right? The people would just abuse it so badly that it almost runs better the way it is right now. But they certainly can't bill you because they're supposed to be paying your bills. That's what being insolvent is. And if they're not going to live up to the terms of the agreement, then give me everything back and I'll do it myself. Well, they can't do that either. They can't give you it back. There's nothing to give back. Plus, they're bankrupt. They're in debt to you, and they're bankrupt. What are they going to give you if all they have is yours? In the first place, what can they give you? Nothing. That's why they can't bill you.
Okay, another question?
Sure.
Hi, Dean. I truly love your work. Tyson Brown from Australia. My question to you is, do you own your own home, fee simple, absolute, if you have a mortgage on it? And if not, what are your remedies with all the applications where you state that as your, where you state that as your avenue of defense? And how can you do business with others when operating in the private, for example, like you? I am a contractor and I want to get paid, so the people I send the invoice to always want your ABN, business number. If I give them that, I am now working in the public and giving jurisdiction to the government and tax office to tax me. Or, that's a question, yeah. If I give that, am I now working in the public and giving jurisdiction to the government and tax office to tax me?
No, I wouldn't claim that. I've been in construction now for 15 years, more than that, 16, I think now. I've never in my life had a business number. Everybody I know has a business number or a GST number. I don't have any of those.
How do you get your contractor's discount without it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. There's the carrot right there. Thank you. No discounts for me. Thank you. I'll just pay.
Oh, just really? Pay. Okay.
Yeah. Is this on account? No, I'll just pay cash. Thank you. Oh, do you want to set up an account? No, I don't. No, I do not. Thank you. I'll just pay cash when I come in here every time. Oh, well, you can get things cheaper if you set up an account. Well, how about I set up a cash account then? Well, what would be the point of that? I've had these conversations with people. I said, because I don't want to make application for credit with you. I don't need credit. I'll just pay every time. Thank you.
Weirdo.
Yeah. Doesn't it sound like an awful lot more work to set up all these accounts and to make application for credit and do all this nonsense? Well, that just increases the administrative costs, right? So, no. But anyways, I wouldn't give somebody a business number if you're worried about that. If you are worried about it, then maybe you should set the terms of service with the government if you're going to use a business number that you believe gives them jurisdiction over your corporation or anything that you're doing. Like when you're collecting GST and PST for the government. Nobody can force you to do anything for free. I was telling this to people years ago. If they can't force you to do anything for free, if the government's going to force you to use a business number, then you bill them for it. You charge them. And until you pay me up front, I'm not using it. And if you guys are going to prevent me from working till I use this number, now we have a human rights violation. Because you're trying to tell me that not only do I have to use this business number for free, but I can't work, period, unless I use this business number for free. That is involuntary servitude. Thank you. Who's claiming that? Because I have a massive, massive civil claim against them for violations of my human rights. Who is claiming that I must do this or I can't work and that I must do it for free or they're going to prevent me from working? Who's claiming that? Who's going to put their name on that claim? Probably nobody. How many times, Tracy, have I told people this is not case specific?
Over and over.
Same equation every time, and people still contact me. Well, I got a different problem here. No, you don't. You have the same problem as everybody else. You don't understand how to negotiate contracts. If somebody wants you to do something, you don't understand how to negotiate with them. Or to find out if they're claiming that it already is an obligation, there already is a contract, or you already did receive payment in advance for something. Hey, Dean, come and pour me a driveway. Well, okay, that's going to be $15,000. Bullshit, I already gave you 10 grand last summer. Oh, shit, that's right. I'm sorry. I forgot about that. Okay, I'll be there on Saturday to start. This is no different. It's just made to appear more complicated, more complex. Or like the obligation is already there somehow. That's an impossibility. Does everybody understand the importance of this? If you're born free, which means you're born free of obligation, you're beholden to nobody. When did these liabilities start to arise? And where did they come from? Because you weren't born with them, which means they had to start somewhere. If that party cannot specify or provide facts and demonstrate how and when this liability arose, then there isn't one. This is a simple equation for every circumstance when dealing with these people. Same thing here, business number, okay. Well, the obligation arose when you filled out the application for the business number in the first place. Okay? But is that a permanent obligation that you can never get out of? How many people think that some of this shit is permanent, Tracy? Oh, well, I already filled it out, so it's done now.
Rescind it.
Well, not only that, here's a better idea. And this is just where, God, people really just, you know, what is it? The trivium and the quadrivium, the teachings in logic and for your brain to just to be able to think logically. This is why this is so important. That's the only thing people should be learning. Quit fucking reading acts and statutes and puke and bullshit and all this other crap out there on the internet and go and read something. Go read up on logical thinking, critical thinking skills. Okay. If I get a job at Tim Hortons tomorrow, and I agree to work for $6 an hour. I agree to exchange 1 hour of my life for $6 under their terms and conditions of employment. Is that binding for life?
Definitely not.
Can I not renegotiate at any time and go in and say, hey, you know what, guys? I'm sorry, but this $6 an hour thing just isn't working for me. And I have to raise my rates to $50,000 an hour. How does that sound? Well, they're going to ask you to turn your uniform back in, aren't they?
It's a nice way to quit, though.
It's a very nice way to quit because they might not be able to let you go. Which raises an interesting point that I'm not going to get into. But it's obviously not bound. That possibility to work for Tim Hortons is always there. It's a business number that you got. It's there to use whenever you want to use it. But you haven't set your terms and conditions of employment yet. You haven't negotiated your terms of service. You can do that any time. They might not like your new rates. Hey, guys, turns out that I've been doing this for the low, low price of free for the last 20 years of my life. It's not working for me anymore. Guess what? I'm having trouble eating right now because of all this free work I'm doing for you people that I thought I was obligated to do, which is another interesting lawsuit for unjust enrichment, by the way. You can go back and do that. So now I'm going to have to negotiate my terms of service because I need to buy food. So if you want me to continue doing what I'm doing, my rate is now $50,000 an hour, or any portion thereof, minimum 3 hours, payment in advance. How does that sound? Well, you might find yourself out of work. They may no longer wish to employ you as a taxpayer. That doesn't sound so bad. Okay, number one. So this is where the logic is missing from people. You're not bound to anything for life. There's no such thing as life servitude under a term or condition. That's insanity. That is involuntary servitude. maybe give your 2 weeks. If that was a term and condition in the first place, when you sign an employment contract with Tim Hortons, I guarantee you there's a clause in there that says you have to give 2 weeks notice. You can't show up at your shift. You start at 3 o'clock and they're swamped. They are busy. And you show up and say, yeah, you know what? I'd love to help you guys today, but, I'm sorry. This $6 an hour isn't working for me. I'm going to need to raise my rates to $50,000. No, you're under contract. If you want to renegotiate, that's fine. But at the start of your shift on a busy day is not the time or the place. And if you don't fulfill your contractual requirement to show up for every 2 week pay period, when you're scheduled, you've now harmed that person because they're relying on the contract between the parties that you were going to show up to perform a service for a certain rate. So they banked on that. They banked on the fact that you were going to live up to your contract, contractual obligations. You're going to show up for work for $6 an hour on this day. And if you don't, you have now broken the contract. So now they've got you on breach of contract. Okay? So, if they force you, if the government forces you to do something, and the terms of service that you told them were, you're to be paid up front and you're to be paid this amount of money, and it's to be free of liability from prosecution under statutory authority, and they forced you to do it anyways, and they didn't pay you up front. Now, not only did they accept the terms of service that you set down, which means they now owe you the money, but now you've got them up on breach of contract as well, because they didn't pay you in advance. Not only that, now you got a lawsuit for uttering threats or whatever else they did, or throwing you in jail, unlawful confinement, whatever they've done, because now they're also forcing you to try to get around your terms of service because they don't want to pay you what you've asked for. See, the government needs unwilling customers. They need unwilling employees because the government would collapse tomorrow if everybody negotiated their terms of service for being a taxpayer. They couldn't afford to do what they're doing if they had to pay anybody anything to do what they're forcing you to do. It doesn't work that way. They require a free labor force. They require it. Well, I'm here to see that they don't have one. The day that I can have people show up and I can whip people and force them to build a house on my job site is the day that I'll do work for free for the government. Because then I don't care if I gotta do work for free for them, because I'll just go out and I'll enslave 10 other people to do my work now. Good. Let's do it. If that is what we have for a world system today, if you can just force me to do something for free, that's great. I think that is a wonderful precedent to set, because I now have my lawful excuse to go and enslave 10 other people and force them to work for free for me because you're doing it. We're all equal before the law, right? Equality before the law is both mandatory and paramount. Well, you can force me to work for free, so I can now go and put 10 people in chains and make them work for me. In fact, I have to. Because I'm working for you for free, I need to force people to work for me for free. So everything's free.
Yay!
Yay! That's that. That is anarchy, exactly. We either have laws and we have contracts and negotiation, or we have nothing. We have a free-for-all, and we're just going to start eating each other right away. So, I guess that's the biggest point I've been trying to make here that I was really hoping people were going to pick up on is that, geez, do you not hear me harp endlessly about giving notice of what you're charging, Tracy?
All the time. It's what we gotta do.
It's a term of service. I'm not doing anything until you pay me. You forced me to come here. You threatened me. You physically assaulted me. I'm here. But I'll be damned if I'm gonna do anything if I'm gonna perform anything for free. Okay, it's no different than me going and telling some guy on a street corner, you get over to this address right now, or I'm going to come back and kick your fucking teeth right in. Okay, relax, dude. So he shows up at the address that I gave him. All right, I'm here. What the hell do you want? You stucco my fucking house right now. What? I'm not doing that. You do it right now, or I'm going to throw you in the basement in a little holding cell that I created. Okay? And I'm going to keep you in there until you agree to stucco my house for free. Well, when you start to paint the picture in that kind of a light, as soon as you start exposing that for what it really is, it looks very bad, and that's why they start to squirm and get nervous. And that's all you're doing when you start to bring these things up. Yeah, fine, I'm here. You threatened me, you told me you kicked my teeth in, you sent cops out to beat me and taser me and baton me, told me they'd throw me in jail for the rest of my life until I couldn't remember my own name if I didn't show up here today. Fine. I'm fucking here. Now what do you want?
And here's my bill.
Well, we want you to take part in these proceedings today. Fuck you, pay me!
Hey, let's...
So you've been accused of... Fuck you, pay me! Pay me or I'm fucking leaving!
Let's draw up a document called that. Fuck you, pay me.
Fuck you, pay me. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, did you receive my notice? What notice would that be? It's the fuck you, pay me notice!
Which part of fuck you pay me didn't you get?
Thank you. That's exactly it. That's why I was so happy to have Alan finally say that the other week there. You know what? When he became cognizant of the fact that what it really boils down to is just stating the obvious. What part of that's a human right do you not understand? Am I speaking in a way that you don't understand? Do you not understand the words coming out of my mouth? That is a human right. It is a right. It is free of condition. What in the fuck do you not understand about that? What part of that is complicated? I don't work for free. What part of that do you not understand? It's six words. Which one do you not understand? And I'll explain it to you.
Some people don't like that word, understand. We should use comprehend.
Comprehend, that's fine. Even understand is fine. What part of that do you not understand? I don't work for free. And send them notice. How many times have I told people, send the courts notice in advance? Who's paying me? Before we get going here, I want to know who's responsible for paying me.
And you're not angry, but you do mean it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm trying to get the point across here to make it as absurd as it really is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think this is getting across to people maybe as absurd as it really is. Fine, I'm here. Pay me.
Have you ever said that and somebody's paid you?
Oh, geez, I've said that before, yeah. And, normally they don't care in my circumstance. I've never really been that adamant about it, to be honest with you, because normally I'm actually, already in jail. when they got me there.
Yeah, a little so too late.
And I like trying some other fun stuff usually for the most part. I'm always into trying new things. I always like to, I keep telling people there's about a million ways to skin this cat. And you can do it differently every time and win. And I've done it differently every time now. Every time. I've never used the same argument twice. Because I like experimenting. I don't care if I'm in jail. That one will work every time.
Well, you do have to think on your feet, too. And every situation is different. So you've got to have your information and think on your feet, speak first, and try to keep it calm. Yeah.
Good training. Yeah. Mr. Clifford, I don't know what you think is going on here. I said, I think what's going on here is you people are trying to force me to do something for free. Am I wrong? Has somebody paid me?
Okay, let's jump to the first part of that question. It was a different question, but about the, do you own your home? Yeah, have you got it there?
No,
if you have a mortgage on it. Okay,
I get off topic. Go ahead.
Do you own your own home, fee simple absolute, if you have a mortgage on it? And if not, what are your remedies with all the applications where you state that as your avenue of defense?
It's always fee simple absolute. You always have the right to put the terms and conditions of ownership or there is no terms and conditions on ownership.
But if you're still paying a mortgage, is that an do you own it at that point, or?
Absolutely, you own it. Again, is a mortgage not a liability?
Right.
Did you assume the liability?
Right.
Well, until you're in breach of that contract, it's yours.
So that term applies. That fact applies.
That's the only term that applies. Can that magically bind you to statutes? Show me. I am not under any obligation to prove that I don't have to do something. The obligation is on you to prove that I do have to do something. If you are claiming that I must abide by statutes and pay property taxes because there's a mortgage on the property, then you better prove that up. Because it's my understanding that as long as I make my mortgage payments, that's the only condition of ownership on this property. And even then, we could get into the fact that the mortgage is only on legal title and not the actual land itself, and blah, 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 blah. But why even get into that? I've told people before, I do not like people getting involved in this movement for mortgage elimination. That is not the proper reason to get involved in human rights and everything I'm trying to build here.
Right, you're not trying to get people out of their responsibilities and contracts and obligations that they're volunteered to do. That's not what you're doing.
Yeah, that's not, and again, I've had people approach me about that. Well, what would you do if you were behind four payments on your mortgage and the bank was about to take your house? I said, well, I'd probably make the payments. Well, no, but what if you can't afford the payments? I said, well, then I probably wouldn't have taken out the mortgage in the first place. Well, no, that's not what I'm asking. What I'm asking is, how do I get out of my mortgage? Oh, you're asking me how to shirk your responsibilities. Well, that's usually not a good question to ask me.
Okay, speaking of mortgages, hi, Kate.
Hey, how's it going? We having fun?
We have been having fun. Dean showed up today.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Hey, be nice now. I think I've shown up every time. So, oh, no.
Except once.
My bad, I missed one. That's correct. Yeah.
Hey, it's all good. I hear you're talking about death pledges.
Ah, the old French, French mortgage.
Yeah.
Death pledge. I told that to somebody a couple of weeks back. We got talking, and I was trying to explain some of this stuff. They were never heard of it really before, and we got talking about mortgages, and I said that to them. I said, you know what the word mortgage actually translates into? It's a French word. You know what it translates into? And they're like, what? And I said, it means death pledge. I said, how many people would get a mortgage if they called it a death pledge?
Yeah, only a dead person can get a dead pledge.
Yeah, the death pledge, which is true. That's an excellent, excellent point to have raised. By the way, I'm glad you made it. For the people that want to just want to abandon their legal person and never use it ever again, get used to paying cash for everything and only accepting cash for payment. You are going to severely hinder your ability to operate in commerce.
Oh, yeah. And one other note on cash, and this is what I really want people to be mindful of, and rather, this will be new information for you. Let's walk it through real quick. When they create the bond at birth, typically $1 million, North Americans, typically, okay? Or UK, $500,000 or whatever the case may be. And what they do, when mom and dad give away the name as a gift, no consideration, in the register, when they register, that's a total give up of that name that they created. It's not yours, never was, never will be. And they sold it to the crown, and what the crown gives back, I don't care where you live on the planet, it goes to the crown. It's a triple crown. Look at the Vatican skull cap, you'll see it. And what happens then is the state creates a debt obligation on your back. You see, the money isn't, we all know that money is debt. I'm going to tell you what exactly kind of debt it is. And this might turn your stomachs when you get this, but you'll start treating it with a bit more respect. If all the money is created off these bonds that are created off the life force of the individual that the bond is attached to, i.e. birth certificate, then what it is in fact, there is no theory on this, is literally your flesh. It is the skin off your back. And every piece of paper floating on this planet, banker paper, it's all owned by the Rothschilds, Vatican, whatever. Every piece of paper that was created off these bonds is literal flesh, and when we were out hoarding all that cash, What we're saying is, yummy, yummy, I love cannibalizing myself and all my brothers and sisters. So what we need to do in this regard is start changing our intent. Instead of taking that $5 out to Walmart to pick up a piece of plastic Chinese junk that's only going to end up in landfill. You want to see the new, if you want to see the next landfill, take a walk through a Walmart.
There's your landfill. How many times have I said that half the stuff sold in Walmart and everything made in China, so actually that's impossible because everything in Walmart's made in China. Don't even open the package after you buy it. Throw it straight in the garbage because that's it. That's all it's worth. It's cheap crap. It's garbage that's going to wind up in the landfill within a week.
Exactly. So that's what you think of your fellow man when you take when you look at a single dollar and you divide it into 7 billion pieces of consciousness. That's what you're holding in your hand. Show it a little respect. And that's the only way I will deal with any cash with that utmost respect, because I know what it is. It's your flesh, and I will not cannibalize you. If it's a matter of helping you helping me keep me alive, different story, because I will do the same for you. It's about my intent and yours. So I'm not going to go out and be mindless about, you know, just chasing after everyone's flesh, money, whatever you want to call it, and wasting it. Because that's what you're saying everyone on this planet is worth. Nothing. Because you just go out and, you know, buy some worthless piece of shit somewhere.
Yeah. I would agree with the fact that it's their money.
It's actually ours. It's our flesh.
It is ours. They created it. But here's the thing is that if I owed you money, okay, and yep. I was going to give you, and just to prove that I owe you money so you can come back later when I have it and get your money. Here, I'm gonna write up this little IOU and I'm gonna sign it. And I give it to you. Well, isn't that why the directors of the Bank of Canada here in Canada, their signatures are on the banknotes? Again, that's all. Yeah, they created it, but it has value when it's in my possession.
Well, yeah, it has a perceived value. Again, money is only worth that which we give it. I mean, I'll use the Weimar Republic of 1922-23 when, you know, an ounce of silver was 4 marks at the beginning of the hyperinflation and was 65 trillion by the end of it.
Yes.
It's only a perceived value. And here's the thing. If someone were to hand me an IOU, well, I would never accept it because I will never accept an obligation nor give one ever again. If someone asked me, do you have $5? Here, it's yours. Do not feel obligated to pay me back because I don't want to give you a debt, because a true debt is not usury illusion of interest. It's the actual debt itself. Because when we obligate ourselves, never a lender nor a borrower be. What we are doing every time we, you know, want to lend somebody something, we are giving them an obligation. We are creating a debt. I have none. Forgive us our debts as we shall forgive our debtors. That way, I will always remain in universal honor. I will never, and that's, I mean, I've spent the last couple of weeks especially going through my mind of all the people that took whatever they felt they needed to take from me, and I've removed the obligation of those debts from my side of it. It's not nothing to do with me anymore. And, like, for example, I'll be writing a little piece to be sent out to a bunch of people tomorrow, you know, Mayor Guelph and a few others, to let them know that what they have wished upon me is only that which they have wished upon themselves. I have gotten rid of, I will never release anything. Sorry, bought it once, ain't going to buy it again. What I will do is I will give it back. I give back all their obligations, and they get to wear.
Yeah, so you forgave all debts?
All debts, everything. Spiritual, physical, etc.
I do believe that more than a year ago on one of the radio shows I did, I had told people that the fastest way to get rid of the national debt is to contact the government and tell them you forgive your share.
Absolutely.
Because, again, that is a debt to us. Full faith and credit of the people. That's all debt
that's all
to
of us.
Us.
That's all of us.
Yeah. But why would I want to forgive their debt to me? After they just spent the last 37 years raping me and throwing me in prison and trying to force unconditional performance out of me when they already owe me money. Why would I want to let them off the hook?
Well, that was a bit of a wrestling match I had to do with myself, and the only thing that was enslaving me was thinking that somebody owed me something. I'm a creator, not a debtor.
Yeah.
That's
well,
it.
I don't mind getting my, I don't mind them paying me back in the way, by way of services.
Well, that'll be, hey, here it is in a nutshell. When you forgive your debt in terms of ethereal, physical, mental, whatever, what that does in a universal, unseen sense, is now you've absolved yourself of it, and those that have taken now carry their own debt. It's going to be up to them to sort it out, not me.
Yeah, except the only problem I'd say with that is they're supposed to ask for forgiveness first.
No, I know where you're coming from. I really do. And this was not an easy one to work my way through, but I'll tell you, the peace of mind out of it is incredible. We change this world, not in the physical. We change it in our minds and hearts. We don't buy their bullshit and their lies anymore. They're illusions. That's kind of where I'm at now.
Well,
and
I think there's no question that if all debt was canceled or forgiven tomorrow everywhere across the planet, which means there's no more liabilities on the books, that would be a very severe stumbling block to that system.
Well, that's exactly why they don't want the system to come down, and especially when they're talking about, you know, economic collapse. Well, they're telling you exactly what they don't want. Because
yeah.
If the economic collapse, and it will happen, it's not a matter of if anymore. Guaranteed, I'm working on it.
Yep.
It's going to happen. It makes all their pieces of paper worthless, and it makes a rather slave-minded populace a little bit more apt to go, hey, wait a minute. You know, so it's going to be a forced awakening. And
yep.
Fortunately, there are many of us out here that have walked this road for a very long time. Like you said the other night, when we were chatting, you know, it's now cool to be a truther. And we're going to be the ones that they're going to come to. At the end of the day, we're going to be those that will be the stable light to keep the peace, to make sure that craziness doesn't ensue. That's my goal anyway, my purpose.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And again, I think it all comes down to, even that wouldn't be necessary. If people just started simply negotiating, every time somebody wants, anytime a cop wants something from you, or anytime anybody wants something from you, when it comes to a government agency or organization, negotiate your terms of service. Something that simple would end almost all of this.
Yeah.
It's just a free-for-all right now, because they got a bunch of people that the government is able to bully into fulfilling obligations for free. That's why they're profiting so much.
Okay, well, let's take it to a different level. Just for fun.
Yep.
All right, when people come to terms with the fact that it is actually us that have been creating fraud against ourselves, and people can accept that. And I'm not sure how much of the stuff that I've been doing lately you've been getting, Dean, but here's a bit of a taste of it anyway. When people understand that the name that they think they own, they don't. It was given away by your mom and dad. They created it. Never was yours, never will be. And they're the ones that aided and abetted you into using it for a lifetime. And then, of course, birth certificate's the only document you can use. The only document the government ever sends them. And then they give it to us, telling it, you know, somehow that's us. And we go out and get things like driver's licenses and all sorts of fraudulent contracts using a name that doesn't belong to us. In as much as me writing a check on your account, you probably wouldn't be happy with me. So what they've managed to do is get our parents to aid and abet us into our own fraud, so it keeps the system in full honor. That's how they've been fleecing us. A little document I put together called "I Who Shall Not Be Named" turns the tables on the bastards. And now is it your intent to entice and aid and abet me into being a name that I know clearly is not mine? I have no interest in interfering with matters of state, because if it's crown-owned name, and of course it's Her Majesty and right of whatever, that's a crown-owned name as well. Got nothing to do with me. But the thing is, we have to take responsibility for letting them know that we know them.
Yeah, I would not take the same stance.
Oh, I know. That's why we're here, to give different perspectives.
Exactly.
On.
There's all sorts of different ways to approach this, and the only argument that you could, if you're going to claim to have nothing to do with the name, no ownership rights over it, no nothing, that's just crown property. Then you're going to want to, if you're going to take that avenue, people would have to establish that means that everything that they did previous to this realization was a mistake.
Absolutely.
Well, it's
not really
fraud. It's a mistake. I didn't realize. So,
right. It was something done in ignorance.
Yeah. And that's the intent is a crime, right? So if you didn't even know that it was, that you were doing something you shouldn't be doing.
So guess what magically happens once you get this? Well, what about the non-disclosure that mom and dad were never told the full ramifications of the contract, especially when they got married in a church worshiping Satan, and a church and state, of course, are both one and the same. So we need to cover the little matter of the aiding and abetting of my own parents into signing something they had no idea what it was. And I have no issue speaking for them. Of course, I have to. They're both deceased. And, there was intent based on the system around us. There's your proof. By one's actions, one is known. And the fact that they send out their little dogs and their little cruisers to go chase cars and get little treats and tickets and stuff, that's proof enough for me that there was intent to commit fraud in order for them to be able to do that in a sense of universal honor, which they do. Now we just turn the tables on it. So this is my allegorical way of showing how to turn the tables over in the temples. Now it's their obligation because they actually went out of their way to commit fraud. The intent is there by the actions of our society and how it's run today. So, sorry guys, your game's up. Now you got some anteing up to do.
I would agree the game is up. It's now what do people want for remedy? And this is what I was trying to touch on before, is do people want to figure out the game and then keep this system alive by now mastering how to play it? Or do they want to say, oh no, sorry guys, now that I've realized that this is actually just a Monopoly game, I'm leaving, I'm out of here. So it all comes down to what do people want to do with this. It's not like one guy can come along and just decree that whole system no longer exists, right? That's just plain madness to try to do that. I think recently that's what one organization tried to do. You can't just declare that something that somebody else owns doesn't exist anymore. That's just nonsense. So. And I think the option is always, educating people, I guess, is going to be the key here, because there's always going to be the option of contracting with the government. Let's face it, these people aren't going anywhere tomorrow. It's not like the banks are just going to disappear tomorrow.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, I would say that's a lofty goal. It's probably several years down the road, and a whole lot of education of people that are willfully ignorant, so that might be a tough one.
Well, based on my position, Dean, I don't have a couple of years, so I'm on it like at night and day here.
Yeah, well, so individual remedy, though, for an individual problem.
Well, again, this is why I always try to do things in a blanket remedy where someone that's working as a brain surgeon or someone that's pushing a broom can understand it. That's,
yes.
This is where I have always focused all of my writing. It's not just for me, because there's no point in me being free if everyone else is still a slave, because I'm still a slave because I'm free. Right? So it's a mirror thing. Fundamentally, what people have to do, and you've done it, I've done it, many of us have done it. You've seen the entire system change as a result of things you've done, yes?
Yes.
Overnight. So that's why I won't say years. This is going to be a twinkling of an eye effect. And once enough people get this concept, this is about turning it on the judges. This is about turning it on the lawyers. And, you know, I'm dealing with people day in and day out, on the air and off the air, that are waking up in droves, and they're getting this. And they're starting to hand it back, and the system's not liking it too much. I got a beautiful email yesterday I'd love to share with you.
Oh, by all means.
All right. Well, here, I'm just going to pull up my email, and you're going to love this. And you know me, I'm all about naming the criminals, right? I don't care if they're a deputy chief of the OPP.
Yep. Oh, of course.
If you're a criminal, buddy, you're a criminal, and that's all there is to it. All right, so I'm just going to crack this open. Beautiful email, and I mean, this is one of hundreds. Like I typically get anywhere from 100 to 200 or more emails every single day. So I'm working at it like nonstop. Like I just got off the air literally to come on with you guys. So glad to be here, by the way. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Oh, it's a good morning. Good to have you on. I'm probably, I think I said I was going to stick around till noon, and it's a 1:15 now, so I think probably by about 1:30 I'll have to get going, so I got some work to do today.
By the way, there was a question asked in my chat room that you apparently missed. What stage are you at in respect to getting your 2 or 3 trucks back?
Ah, that'd be 2 right now. One's a permanent loss that I actually did some experimenting with there. Actually, when the government wouldn't return it and they wouldn't produce any form of claim against the truck, I simply sold it to them for a ridiculous price. And that is one of the commercial liens that I have. And what's interesting, I've never heard about it ever again. They stopped sending me letters that it was in the impound. They stopped doing everything after I sent them the bill of sale. So I consider that to be their truck now, and now it's a matter of collecting on that debt, and that one I might actually take into Queen's Bench yet. I haven't decided yet, but I do have the commercial lien perfected on that. The other one is the diesel. It's out in BC right now. That's the other one where they wouldn't write a notice of seizure for it, and I think they tried sending a letter to the previous owner telling him to come pick up the truck, which that owner has sent that letter on to me now, and I've got him up on several fraud charges, but... Man, that's the truck they've passed around from a couple of different impounds now, because every time that I start talking with the tow truck company and asking them why they have the truck and if they can produce any paperwork from the police to be in possession of the truck, otherwise it's stolen and I'm going to charge them with theft. The truck turns up at a different tow truck company a couple weeks later. So I'm just kind of having fun with that one, but I do want it back here pretty soon. So I'm going to start to act on that now. And I haven't even phoned the place here locally that has the Chevy that they took during that Sobeys incident. So I just consider them being rented right now. I own all the equity. The bill is just climbing. And at some point, I'm going to collect on this. And we're going to figure out how to really enforce this shit on these people. And that's going to be judgment day. That's going to be a day of reckoning here. Until then, I'm just having fun with it because I just simply don't care. I would say that I haven't had time to put I haven't been able to put as much time into getting them back as I'd like. I haven't even sent a letter off with regards to my truck, the BC truck now in probably 5 months. And the one here, I haven't even made my first phone call yet. I've just been too busy. Last couple weeks, especially since after I just got out of jail here, back in the end of February, I've been doing nothing but working, trying to get my company profitable again, because it turns out I need to eat and pay my bills. So that's where everything's at right now. Hello. Well, apparently if I'm on, I'm the only person on right now.
No, you're not. Tracy's here. Trace is here, but Kate got blocked.
Okay. Oh, blocked. Lovely. Okay.
She'll be back.
Yeah, I take a different stance with the person. I will assert categorically that we own that name. There's different beliefs and different tactics people are using throughout the free man movement. And there's a position of power that comes along with owning all the equity in the name. They were only given legal title to something. They don't own the equity. It wasn't gifted to them. I don't operate on that. Other people do. I think both will work. It depends on what... This is what I keep telling people. There is no one solution to this. Both avenues will work. Fine. If you guys want the name, it's yours. Take it. I don't care. It has nothing to do with me anymore then. If you want it, it's yours. Sayonara. Have fun. Goodbye. And don't forget to pay every single bill in that name. There's that approach. There's the other approaches. If you're gonna pick an approach though, you have to know how to play that, to play that angle. This is like a hockey game where there is no rules. The rules are created as you go by negotiating terms. Again, like a blank Monopoly board with a bunch of players on it and money. And they need you to come to the game because you're the one that brings all the equity. You're the one that brings all the value. What would happen to a Vegas casino if nobody went? It wouldn't be very profitable. So the government literally is like a casino that needs you to come through the front door with your equity. Bring your money. Come on down here. Bring all your equity. So.
Yeah, it's all three card Monty.
Yeah, it's definitely three card Monty. And again, these are imprecise ways of explaining it, but I'm trying to paint a picture for people of how they should be operating and how they should be fully, aware of the fact that when they're out and they're engaging in commerce with people by using the name, you gotta remember that name is the only thing that they can use to interact with you in commerce. They can't see the man. The man doesn't exist. You're just the one basically moving the piece on the Monopoly board. And we covered that right at the beginning of the show. This all comes full circle right back to itself again. But everybody just needs to start negotiating the terms of service. And if they're trying to claim that you are the name and that they can tell the name to do anything, well, you need them to clarify when you became that name, how you became that name, how you became something of diminished capacity, and how they came to have the authority to tell that name to do anything. Who created it? Who owns all the equity in it? We need to clarify all of this to determine whether or not there's a real obligation on my part. Because it's my understanding I was born free of condition, free of obligation. So how did this obligation arise?
Mom and
these
dad.
Are just, well, and then can your mom and dad place a lifetime obligation on you?
Yeah, they did. They gave, well, you see, you're the fruit of your labor.
It's impossible. Here,
hang on. It's not impossible. I'm going to share something with you right out of Black's Law. Word of Admiralty. This was the trigger for me, Dean. Word of Admiralty. Now, listen to the sounds, right? A seaman, so-called because of the legal view that a seaman, dad, in contractual matters should be treated as a beneficiary, benefits, and the other contracting party is fiduciary, mom, because of the perceived inequitability of their bargaining positions. That's why they went after the divine feminine, Regis Stir. They were after the spiritual contract, not the physical. And when mom and dad give up the fruits of their labor, that's why dad changes places with the state. That's why you get benefits, not fiduciates.
Yep. Right? And I would say that because the obligation of proving up a claim falls
it's
on the accuser.
Absolutely.
That's what I mean. If I ask that question and they have to answer and come back and say, oh, well, it's because your parents did this and they bonded you into slavery by doing this and blah, 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 blah. Well, that would never hold water.
Well, that's the whole point I'm making is the fact we've exposed the original sin, the original fraud. And that's why this whole system is based on it. And by its actions, it shows its intent. So the intent to commit fraud of mom and dad to get them to aid and abet us, unbeknownst to them, their own children, they didn't realize they were giving the kids away, and they didn't realize they were aiding and abetting them into a lifetime of fraud, claiming a name that was never theirs.
Let's just say for argument's sake then, let's say okay, let's pretend that's the case, that it's exactly as you just explained it. Or, okay. It's another, or somebody else has another explanation to say, well, no, it was this act of fraud that committed the liability. Or somebody else says, well, no, I think it was this that created the liability, this act of fraud. Either way, is it even possible for somebody to attach a liability to you?
Spiritually, yes.
Without your knowledge or consent?
Spiritually, yes.
And without compensating you?
Well, absolutely, because here's the thing.
Even spiritually, no, not a chance.
Yeah, absolutely, Dean. This is the one thing that took me a while to get through. And, cause I was the same mindset. No, I can't, cause it's me and, no, different game here. Cause we are of a lineage. DNA is energy. This is a spiritual game for me. I don't play the physical. This is why I love interacting with you and a few others that actually have their heads on. When mom and dad make the commitment to get married and they give it up to the church and the state, i.e. through a vow in a Satan-worshipping building and, of course, signing the license, they've actually given up all title to any agreements made within that marriage. End of story. So anything they create within that marriage is
title only. Now, exactly.
I realize that, but there's a spiritual connection to it as well. Because no one, by your own actions, this is how we enslave ourselves. It, you know, mom and dad thinking that, you know, they have to get married in a church because everyone else did. That's something that the Romans indoctrinated to make sure people would be willfully consenting into their bullshit. So what I'm trying to do is rip that layer off so that we can hand the shit back. So now the burden of proof is upon them to prove that there was no intent to defraud us, and there has been since 1933. That was the intent in 1933 to, you know, because the gold was no longer available, apparently. They weren't interested in that gold. They were interested in our gold. And it's a very clever, and I've got lots of different things I've been through to get to this conclusion. But I also know that the solution is very simple as well. It's so simple. It's a matter of changing intent and letting those know that have harmed you that I don't need to take you to court for me to prove to you what's in your own mind. Your actions have already shown your intent. I don't deal in the past. It's done. I deal in the now. And it's not up to me to decide whether you're guilty or not. If I was to walk up to you and slap you in the face, by my actions, I'm already guilty of it. Because I had to have the thought intent first before I lifted my hand to strike someone. Now here's the thing, the problem with time here, and the universe doesn't kick back right away. If you ever walked up to someone and slapped them in the face, and right at the same time the universe slapped you back, you'd probably not do that anymore. But no, the pendulum takes a little longer to swing back. And what I finally got to was the center point. And I'm just handing it all back to them. This is Pontius Pilate. I'm washing my hands of them. I'm reclaiming my divine feminine. My register contract is no longer valid. I mean, look up star contracts. That's why they want register. Stir is star. It's divine, creative, feminine, spiritual essence. The void of creation itself. And this is why what I talk about is very difficult for people. And that's okay. It's not to be right or wrong. I don't care. I'm just looking for how the hell did they get us in complete dishonor from the get-go, where when you walk into a court, you already know they're dishonorable. Look how they treated you. Look how they treated me. And they were scared shitless of you, and they were scared shitless of me. There's no question on that, Dean. No question. So this is what we're doing now, is empowering that whole, you take them on in the physical. Absolutely. You've got a very specific job to do. I've got one as well. What we're doing is we're coalescing all of this beautiful energy together. So we're taking them from the ground assault and the Air Force. Okay? And that's what we're after. And I mean that figurative sense. But do you have time to hear this little email? You're going to love this.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to hear this.
This is from an individual. I'll leave the names out of it except the guilty and certain parts of the scenario, but this you are going to love. Let me see if this works. Okay. Sorry, my mouse isn't working, so I got to use this little keypad thing. Okay, so he wanted to share the story with me. Thanks for your time in advance, and they're being very brief here. So this individual is involved or was added to a civil suit resulting from being in receipt of gifts from their father that was trying to make good and make up for leaving or abandoning them and their three siblings alone for 20-plus years living in government housing with their mother in poverty. This brings in both church and state, by the way. You're going to love this. Loblaw hired ex-Interpol President Norm Ingster, also head of the RCMP, and hired a team of investigators to hunt this individual down. I caught every single one of them and filed police reports after a high-speed chase from one city to another here in Ontario. It appears now the very contracts in question that Loblaw thinks entitles them to these monies is completely legal, of course it is, and confirmed by the civil branch located in Ottawa that investigates these kinds of transactions. In fact, they forwarded to the criminal division. Now this criminal division, here it gets better, this criminal division is headed up by OPP and they are responsible for investigating corporate criminals. The man in charge is Vince Hawks, OPP deputy chief. Well, so this individual agreed to hand over the property to the court receiver as they were not privy to any of this information in the beginning and they decided that it was easier. Loblaw failed to inform them or inform the courts that the receiver was already working for Loblaw in this matter, Inkster Group and Navigant Consulting. So the Fox looking after its own hen house. The receiver did their best to hide the identity as to the buyer of this cottage property, and after further inquiry, the guy who purchased the property was none other than Vince Hawks, OPP deputy chief, for $160,000 below market value. The crime's already committed, so we don't need to go to court on this one. All right. Now, to date, no response from them on the investigation. Big surprise. And it appears to have disappeared. Another big surprise. Loblaw has completely refused to hand over any documentation, etc. Big surprise. At the time this individual was served, they were a full-time student. They ended up having to leave that because of all the nonsense that was going on. And this individual said they embarked full-time studying as much as they could all day and night, came across my talks about the birth certificates and related info, and was so intrigued, I spent the last 2 years full-time studying, learning as much as they could. This leads me to the best part. I was trying to get, here, you'll love this. I was trying to get my live birth statement so I could study it and understand it. I was experiencing some challenges retrieving the statement, so I called the mother to ask her about the statement and, that she would have signed, etc. When she says, "Oh, what did you find out?" Obviously, now they're even more intrigued and very inquisitive. So their mother tells them that they have a twin brother and that the Catholic Church, the doctor, which is the head of Catholic Children's Aid Society, and the grandmother stole the baby. This individual is 39 now and just finding all this out. Mother was a frightened 16-year-old at the time and was living in Roman Catholic house in an area north of me. So she was thrown to the wolves, never told a soul. And they have never reported this to anyone. So they, I want to send a performance bond to a minister letting them know that fraudulent securities have been created and get a process started to unravel this whole scam and try to use this example to bring about awareness and raise the level of consciousness. And if I did not listen to you your talks with Santos... Oops, went too far. I never would have known any of this, and you're included in that too, Dean, I'm sure. You can't look up this stuff and not find you. I'm so empowered, and everything mentioned above, which is very brief, has turned out to be the best experience of their life, as strange as that sounds. Not at all. So they have such a clear mind and a sense of direction. Their path has never been more clear. And they also said, P.S., I wanted to share this info with you and thank you, as you've indirectly helped me immensely. I'm not asking for anyone's help or want someone to prepare documents or anything of that nature. Going to stand on my own 2 feet and face this on my own. However, if there's anything you think I should be reading and studying and or open to coaching and be interested in paying for your time, not a chance. I take pay. I will gift whatever you need, openly without obligation. I am open to suggestions, anxious to learn, blah, blah, blah. They don't drink alcohol, watch TV, so their mind is right. And how's that?
I like that. It's interesting.
Isn't that, talk about cracking open a big can of worms. Hey, Vince Hawks, you thieving bastard.
Well, I don't know. I don't let up on the cops very much. I pretty much maintain my stance that they're all a bunch of criminals, shitheels, and people think I'm a little tough on them. I don't think I'm tough enough because this proves that, especially the ones in the higher the higher offices, they know what's going on, and they're using what's going on to their own benefit, to their own advantage, and they're screwing everybody.
Yeah, and they're, of course, they're the ones walking around protecting the banks and the banksters, and they're fully armed to the teeth, wearing their nice, Waffenschutzstaffel Gestapo uniforms. You know, beautiful black.
Exactly.
You know, so, I mean, let's call them for what they are. They're Fourth Reich, and they're bought and paid for. That's the bottom line. These guys have sold, the ones that know what's going on and are benefiting from it, have sold their souls to Satan. End of story. And I'm speaking figuratively. I don't want any religiocosis, chosenitis people out there thinking it's something different. It's not. It's anyway, so there you go. You know,
yeah,
hey.
I think what we can sum up from all this is, let's just put it this way. You win no matter what, as soon as you start asking simple questions or making simple claims. And the reason for that is everything that they've done is in such bad faith or outright fraud that to even come forward and to rebut your claims when you claim to own the name, which is my firm stance that you do, you own all the equity, they have legal title. That's a different type of ownership. So there's two different owners to the name. For them to step forward and possibly rebut your claim with a claim of their own that they own it, they would have to prove it up. And the only way they could possibly prove up having any ownership in that name would be to expose every fraudulent, shitheel thing that they've done.
And it's going to happen, Dean.
They would expose the fraud. They would expose themselves. They would basically have to confess to fraud to prove up any claim to the contrary. That's why you win, no matter what, as soon as you start going after this kind of stuff. Because they cannot come to the table and expose what they've done. They can't argue with you, they can't make claims, they can't do anything, because everything that they've done,
they come with unclean hands.
Right from the get-go.
Yeah, they come with unclean hands. What they're trying to do is to get us to have unclean hands, a little bit dirtier. And here's the thing, and when you're talking about a judge or a title or anything like that, that is the dead fiction. That's the dead carrying out the dead.
Absolutely.
And they can only deal in their dead realm. That's why things like Judge Bowes and all the rest of it, that's why that shit happens, because they know they're standing in front of living people, you know, that know they're not who they want them to be. And this is the thing too, and I've got a little thing I'll be writing out today, to be signing off to, you know, the corporately owned copyright entities of like the mayor of Guelph and all these people that are walking dead, basically. I'll use whatever I want in terms of copyright, because sorry guys, you want to copyright dead fictions, knock yourself out. I'm not dead and I'm not a fiction. Quite frankly, anything in this universe you want to try to claim or copyright, whatever. Sorry.
Well, if you believe you are, I guess you're in a bit of shit.
Well, yeah, maybe. You know, but the point is, it's like, if you go into court with a dead fiction, you're dealing with a dead fiction. What I'm doing is I'm ripping the dead fiction right off them. Now, I want to see you standing there in your underwear, shit nuts, and I'm going to show you how it's done. I've had enough, you know. You know, I mean, hey, it was the cops that stole my house and destroyed my family and stole my car, truck, you name it. And here's the thing, too. This is the hard pill to swallow. All of it was registered, so I didn't have any claim to it because it was registered with a dead name. That's how they've been getting away with it. So now it's a different game. This is why we have to turn the fraud over on them. And it's going to be sorry, you're done, hand it back.
Yep.
I'm going at it from universal law, not this man-made shite. You know, that's just, I'm just taking a different approach, but there we go, Dean. This is why people like you are critical. This is, you know, I can list all the people out there that are taking it to task at every level. We need to hit them at every level. I just chose a different one, that's all.
Yep. No, we all have, like I say, I don't.
Same intent.
I don't hold quite the same belief on when it comes to the name, but I think the important part here is that when enough people are making enough different, even if they're wrong arguments,
it's the intent, Dean. That's
you're still clogging up the system. They still have to step up and prove things up.
And you're showing your intent. That's the magic thing. You've had enough. It doesn't matter whether you think you're doing it right or doing it wrong. It doesn't matter. Your heart's in the right place, and that's what you need to sort out first.
Like, if I had a contract to stucco your house, and I love using this example, and if you're the homeowner and you come to me and you say, hey, whoa, no, you were supposed to do this. You told me you were going to do this. The only way I can prove up that I don't have to do something that you said is part of the contract would be to produce the contract and say, now you show me in this contract where I said I was going to do that. So that's the beauty of even making just a ridiculous claim when it comes to the person. Because the only way the other party can say, no, that's not the case, is for them to open up all the actions that led to the creation of the person and all the details and facts surrounding it.
You'll never guess what I'm after. That's exactly what I'm after. And because they're non-disclosure from the get-go.
There you go. So all you have to do is make some kind of even a wild claim if you want to.
Yep. And don't register.
Are you claiming differently? Why don't we just open this all? Why don't we just get full disclosure of all facts with regards to the name, and then we'll decide on whether or not that's the case.
And here's another fact, you guys. Kate, spiritually speaking and practically speaking, isn't there something, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law and trademark by use? So if you using your name, it's yours. Don't you think? Like spiritually speaking?
No, because it was never yours. You didn't come up with it. My name is mine now. It's 10/10 of the law with me. I chose my own name. Right? Not the one that was registered. That was given up. I have no problems letting go of that. I'm in a different situation, though, than most people, but that was one of my pieces of the puzzle, one of my clue parts to be able to share with people.
Yep. It's about whereas I'm okay with the registration, I'm okay with the creation of the name, I've got no problem having a moniker in their system, but it's going to be on my terms and conditions. And if they don't like that, I can't be forced to participate.
Well, that's kind of the reason why I wrote what I did, because once people get the concept of it, now there was originally a fraud created with intent at the birth certificate. You got to expose the fraud first. Now you stand in honor and you can use it all day long. But until that fraud is exposed, you're still captured in the ethereal sense. So it's actually we're putting both shoes on here. This is not one being right or one being wrong. This is about taking what you're saying and saying, well, no. Yeah, absolutely, Dean, you can use that name because it was fraudulently stolen from you, but that's what needs to get addressed first.
Yep. Well, let's say that people don't even want to go that far. Let's just say that there's somebody out there that doesn't want to, you don't even need to go to the extent of proving the fraud. Simply get them to try to tell you that you're obligated to do something for free. There's some obligation somewhere. You're obligated to obey these statutes. Oh, really? There was an obligation placed on me? When? How? Where, precisely, was this obligation placed on me, and what did I receive in return for valuable consideration? We need some full disclosure here. That's any one of these arguments when it comes, they do not want to get into that. Because that opens the whole thing up to the light of day. And that's how the fraud's gonna get exposed. They'll leave long before that. They'll leave long before that.
I don't want to leave many escape routes, though. That's what I'm after. You know, they put us in a box, and I'm putting them in one. And it is. It's about the non-disclosure. And there was intent. We don't need to prove anything, Dean.
Yeah.
We don't need to prove anything.
There's no obligation on us to prove anything. If you're claiming I'm forced to perform in some way, then you better prove up your
claim.
That's
it. You're making the claim, so...
Exactly.
You know, here's, and I go right back to by one's actions, one is known. You know, the cop that was standing on my throat did that. I don't need to prove it. He did it. He knows it and I know it. I don't need someone else to verify it. I'll take creator at face, okay? I was there. So was he. Same guy ripped the hair out of the back of my head. You know? These kind, gentle children that walk around with guns. And psychotics is what they are. Mindless Manchurian candidates that use trigger words like free man on the land and sovereign citizen, you know? You know, these guys are, you know, and I always
tell... you mean they're willfully trying to promote hatred against an identifiable group?
Oh, yeah, maybe, you know? And of course, hey, and you heard, what's his name, what's that prime minister guy? Harpy, Steve Harpy. Might as well call him what he is. I guess something about anti-discrimination against transgender, he begrudgingly signed it. You know, so there's another card I'm going to be playing, having some fun with too, just for shits and giggles.
But discrimination against people that they've identified as free men, I guess that's okay?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? So
yeah, if that's a political belief or a political affiliation, I thought that was one of the human rights that all these, international organizations have agreed that exists.
Well, I think what people need to do, if you want to call yourself a free man or a sovereign or whatever, I think what you need to do is start filing discrimination papers just to clog up their toilet a bit more. Because that puppy's backing up big time, and the shit that's in there, they don't want to smell. But I guarantee you, I got a plunger in the tank, and I'm pushing tenfold. They're going to smell their own shit.
Yep.
People like you, Dean, me, Trace, Dave, countless tens of thousands, millions of others now. I've had enough. And it's falling down around them. You can see the fear porn ramping up, and that's just the mirror of the light that's getting shone on it. It's great. It's beautiful.
Yep. Get involved. Somebody, you don't even need to know what you're doing. Just get involved. Start asking some questions.
Start saying no.
Yeah, that's another good one, too. No, I don't consent. My consent, the presumption of my consent is now removed.
Yeah, do you know the only piece of paper I carry with me? It's the only piece of paper the British government ever gave my mom and dad that somehow was supposed to be me, and that's the birth certificate. And it says right on it, warning not to be used for identification purposes. Okay, well great, but I can't get any ID without it, so what exactly is it? So that's why I carry it. And I know for a fact, head over to notacitizen.com if you get a chance. Guy's got some great stuff there. That's all he carries too, by the way, birth certificate. Because they cannot accept it, because if they do, they're committing fraud. End of story.
They need you to use it as ID to get another form of ID.
Bingo, and that's another part of the birth certificate caution. Any false certificates, false identifications is also an offense. So if you go out and get something with it, it's a twofold offense on the same document. So, and it's right on mine. This is the magic of this. People say, well, it's not on mine. Well, I'll tell you, it's printed on mine, certified copy from Belfast Registry Office. I've got the long and short forms here, right from them. I wanted them to send me their proof of fraud, and they did.
Yep.
Fools. You know?
No, there's no questions with any of this stuff, so I think that's, well, that's me burnt out for the day, so I don't know if anybody else has any other points they want to raise or questions they want to ask, but I'll be an hour and a half behind leaving when I wanted to get going here and get my work done, so.
Oh, sorry, buddy.
Well, thanks for hanging out. Yep, I'm ready to go too, you guys. Thanks, Dave.
Excellent. Okay, well, good talking with everybody, and I guess everybody have a good day.
Well, thank you.
You're quite welcome, and I want to thank...
I'm still okay for a bit if you want to chat, Dave.
Right now...
Okay, all good.
I'm lost. Maybe I can bring Michael McCracken in.
Sure, let's play. If you got to go, that's fine. I'm just letting you know that I'm in for the long haul, so...
You always are.
Yeah, no, I'm actually reading something here. We used the name argument in the late 80s and early 90s in New York, and those folks are still in jail. Yeah, it's not terribly precise enough for me to know what the name argument was.
But yeah, that's exactly, if they were using the name argument, everything was still, the layers were all still in place.
Again, yeah, I'm not the name. I'm not the name, or something like that. Which would be, I think they've held people for psychiatric evaluations for saying that they aren't the name. Even recently, as recently as I think Max Radico out there down Ontario, Quebec way. So, and that would kind of coincide with what I'm trying to tell everybody, that if the name is an extension of you, a very small part of you, a limited capacity part of you, that would be like God asserting that you're not part of him.
Oh no, most assuredly I am. That's the whole angle I'm coming from.
Exactly.
My name is in my mind, and I will never utter it, because that is a name that shall never be known. I will never give that to anyone.
Yeah, if the name is mine, though, if they're going to force me to be recognized by that name, then it's going to be on my terms and conditions.
Well, better yet, okay, you're saying this is me? Prove it. I'm saying it ain't.
And if you want this to be represented by me, here's my terms of service. Here's my terms and conditions. Because you can't force me to represent, you can't force me to do anything.
No, especially if I made a mistake in doing so.
Yeah. There you go. If you're claiming an obligation already exists, where did it come from?
And why wasn't I told? Is that non-disclosure?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we got
it. Was there valuable consideration? What do you claim you compensate me? How did you compensate me to attach this obligation, this liability to me? There had to be a fair exchange of value. Like, these are just simple things. Instead of just saying, I'm not the name, or something like that, right? This is stuff that has a lot more valid substance to it.
Well, again, someone just can't walk out and say, I'm not the name. Well, okay, well, you better tell me why. You better know it in your heart, you better know it in your mind and soul, because only then will you, have the desire to...
You better tell me why you use this birth certificate to get identification if you're not
because
the name.
Because I was wrongfully committing fraud, aiding and abetting in my own fraud, creating contracts with a name that did not belong to me and was owned by the Crown. I made a mistake. I was in ignorance of that, but I'm no longer in ignorance. So, Let's talk about the non-disclosure as to why this mess started to begin with, shall we?
Yep. And if you're claiming that's not what the name is, and that's not what the name does, then why don't you disclose to me exactly what the name is and what the name does, and we'll just settle this once right here, right now. Do you think I'm willing to talk to you then?
Yep. I'm willing to admit a mistake of using something I did not know was committing fraud, and now that I know, I cannot. And, I'll fess up.
Yeah. And if I'm incorrect, then show me how I'm incorrect. Let's disclose the facts and let's show how I'm incorrect. You prove to me exactly what is going on then instead.
And prove to me that there was not intent to harm me through non-disclosure in a fraudulent aiding and abetting contract with my mother and father, who unfortunately ended up aiding and abetting me into a criminal position.
Yep. But either way, the minute you start talking about any of this stuff, any of these fashions,
they're screwed.
They're screwed. That's exactly the point to all this. Even if you're wrong in your assumption of what's going on, for them to prove up what's really going on, they would have to expose everything.
And that's my game.
Do that.
Oh yeah, they can and they will.
Well, no, they can't expose it, and they won't. They just...
Dean. Sorry, I'm on a different page there, my friend. I am hell-bent for leather.
No, that's why a lot of ministers never get back to people. The plausible deniability. If they just don't answer, they don't incriminate
themselves. I don't need them to. This is the other side of the coin that I like to share with people. I don't need anybody to get back to me, because the simple fact is it's my intent that's going out, and my intent has no harm in it. And the fact that you will not respond means that you have an intent to harm, and you've also, by acquiescence, agreed to everything that I've uttered. And by the way, that's why I had to crack the sigils, the letters. You know, that was priority one for me.
Nice.
At the end of the day, you know. Because here's the thing, we did not create the English language letters or sigils. Let's call them what they are. They're sigils. They're black magic sigils. And we learned to speak first, and the only way they could get us to aid and abet into their paper fraud was to learn to read and write and agree that every word is spelled a certain way, right? Right, right, or right. No.
I'm okay with every word being spelled a certain way. I do believe in clarity and preciseness.
But that's exactly it, Dean. The thing is, when you say right... Did you spell it W-R-I-T-E, R-I-T-E, W-H, or sorry, W-R-I-G-H-T, or R-I-G-H-T? This is the assumption and presumption trick.
That's exactly the problem.
People have been getting away with. Assumption.
That's exactly it. They use different definitions for the same words, and they just deem us to be competent to know that.
Right.
That's the whole problem. You gotta remember, a lot of this depends on the assumptions, presumptions, and the rules that the court operates on has to deem you competent to understand what's going on, and they operate on the presumption that there really is a liability that's existing. Like, these are all just things that I keep telling people. You have to attack all these assumptions, presumptions, because they're operating on the belief that you know what's going on and that you're competent and you consent to it all. They have to operate on those presumptions. Otherwise, they would be violating people's rights every day.
Universal
every
law. This is how they've stayed in universal honor. This is the point I'm making.
Yeah. They couldn't proceed unless they proceeded on those assumptions and presumptions.
And now they don't have those. They don't have those anymore. This is what I'm saying. This is where I'm working at. And I got a few things to be sending out, and watch the ripples.
Yep.
Just watch.
And you're getting a lot of stupid people out there now, too, that somebody sent me a link to this website forum that was out there where I guess these are people that are all into, like, tax shelters and a bunch of other stuff, and they research law. And the topic of the free man movement has come along. And these guys are posting even more recently, and the thread was about me. And they're because, of course, they don't believe in any of the free man stuff, and they're like, well, apparently this idiot was arrested doing donuts in a parking lot because he thinks, you know, doesn't have a license, I don't have to obey any laws, so he can go and do donuts in a parking lot and act like a moron. And then when he gets arrested, he just wastes so much court time that nobody even wants to bother getting out of bed to argue with anymore, so they just let him out. And they think that that's a victory.
Well, of course it is, because it's all assumption and presumption. They weren't there.
I was like, man, like, talk about people that are deluding themselves into, they have to delude themselves into believing the system is real.
Well, that's the thing. Here, Dane, that Judge Bowser Sovereign video. Everyone seems to think that there was a parking ticket involved. Two of them, actually. No, there wasn't. I never received anything.
Yeah.
Nothing. No, they just wanted to bring me in to test me. That's all that was about, and they failed miserably.
Yeah. Well, I loved the assertion that the only reason that the Crown stayed all proceedings on 11 charges is because they just didn't feel it was a serious enough offense to bother getting out of bed and arguing with me any longer. That was the rationale for some people as to why that was won.
Yeah,
it's like,
well,
okay, guys, yeah. You're just not going to convince everybody is the point I'm making there. So you're not going
to
convince
everybody. Don't want to. The only one I had to convince was me.
Yep.
Screw it. Hey, I live my experience. Nobody else does.
Blissfully ignorant to the extent, to the point of making up excuses for the system.
To reinforce their own slavery and aiding and abetting in it furtherance.
There you go.
Go ahead, guys.
It's 2 o'clock. I'm going to end on that.
All right,
okay,
go.
Have a good afternoon, everybody.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, everyone. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a little bit with Michael McCracken and Kate of Gaia.
Yeah.
Up here.
Wolf Spirit Radio.